and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. Several thousand additional Marines will go to Iraq next year, the Pentagon said Wednesday, in an update that indicated the total U.S. force won't be reduced as much as planned. The Pentagon had announced on November 6th most of the details of its rotation plan, which called for relying more heavily on the National Guard and Reserve while reducing the total number of American troops to about 105,000 by the time the rotation was completed in May. Although no numbers were provided by the Pentagon, it appears the total number by May will be closer to 110,000, counting the additional Marines. For reasons not explained in the announcement Wednesday, the Pentagon said it had decided to send an additional 3 battalions of Marines. Those would be beyond the 20,000 who were designated on November 6th. Democratic presidential contender Howard Dean joined family members Wednesday for the emotional return of the remains of 3 Americans and an Australian missing since the Vietnam War. Dean believes one of the Americans was his brother. Remains tentatively identified as those of Charles M. Dean and his friend, Australian Neil Sharman, civilians traveling in Southeast Asia when they were killed in 1974, were discovered this month buried in a rice field in central Laos. The other 2 sets of remains are believed to be airmen unearthed in separate sites in northeastern Laos. Smooth sailing is expected for the giant balloons in the 77th annual Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade in New York City today. Winds are expected to reach no higher than 10 miles per hour, eliminating any fears that the bevy of cartoon characters would have to be grounded. Led by Jake the helium-stuffed turkey, who last appeared in 1959, the giant balloons are expected to float with ease in the parade. The National Weather Service has forecast winds of 5 to 10 miles per hour during the duration of the parade, with mostly cloudy skies. Several thousand watched in chilly temperatures last night as the big balloons were filled with helium near Central Park. More IE America Network news after this.
I'm Don Henley. 2003 marks the centennial anniversary of the National Wildlife Refuge System. Today, more than 530 refuges conserve some 90 million acres throughout the country. With a refuge in each and every state, and many within short drives of major cities, it's easy to see what the National Wildlife Refuge System is all about. Help us celebrate this truly outstanding legacy. Visit your local refuge.
New York's annual Thanksgiving parade is famous for its giant balloon caricatures, but Mrs. Claus in drag may be drawing the second looks this year. Harvey Fierstein, Broadway's most famous drag queen, will dress as Mrs. Claus while riding downtown on a float in Macy's famous parade. Fierstein, star of the Broadway musical hit Hairspray and openly gay, says his appearance as Santa's wife isn't a political statement. He's doing it strictly for the fun of it. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
This season, don't just give a gift, give the good life at the Thanksgiving weekend sale at Sears. All weekend, save big throughout the store. Plus, this Friday, come into Sears from 6 to 11 a.m. and save 50% off hundreds of items, from electronics to fine jewelry, including our lowest price ever on a Sylvania combination TV-DVD player, just $129.99. Can't wait for the holidays? Then hurry into Sears and save big. Find us online at Sears.com or at America Online, keyword Sears. This holiday, give the good life. Sears, good life, great price. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Sale ends 11/28/03.
On this Thanksgiving Day, one thing that I'm thankful for is to be a progressive in America, even in this age of bourgeois. What makes me thankful is the great rebellious spirit and progressive ideals that I find among the great majority of our people, a spirit and progressivism that can't be drained from us even by the collective efforts of Bush Co., the corporate kleptocrats, and the wobblycrats in Washington. Luckily, I get to travel a lot, speaking and working with folks all across America. so I don't have to take my impression of people's beliefs and attitudes from the establishment press, pundits, pollsters, and politicos. And I can tell you that contrary to the contrived conventional wisdom of these establishment elites, Americans are not a bunch of meek, trust authority, just-go-shopping corporate conservatives clutching duct tape and religiously watching Fox television to learn what it is we're supposed to think and do. Rather, we're the same bunch of restless and raucous rebels, anti-establishment mutts and mavericks who've always been drawn to this big brawling and sprawling country, and who have steadily extended our egalitarian ideals over the decades. Everywhere I go, I find that ordinary grassroots Americans are lighting little prairie fires of rebellion against the economic and political exclusion being practiced by the power elites. You hear little about it from the media barons, but more than 112 cities have already passed living wage initiatives. Students on more than 50 campuses have outlawed sweatshop goods from Nike and others. Nearly 200 towns have defeated Walmart and other big box bullies from bulldozing into their communities. More than 200 cities, towns, and counties have passed formal actions against the liberty-busting USA Patriot Act. And, well, the list goes on of modern-day rebels fighting and winning to take our democracy back. This is Jim Hightower saying, thanks to all of you on this Thanksgiving Day for your great rebellious spirit.
The Mr. Rogers Parenting Book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
And greetings, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in the American way. This is Tom Hartman, broadcasting live coast to coast on the IE America Radio Network, streaming down from the depths of outer space in the Sirius satellite radio system, stream 145, and bouncing around the world with radiopower.org on the internet and IEAmericaRadio.com, live365.com, and archives at whiterosesociety.org, excuse me. And you can find all of that by going to tomhartman.com, links off to the various places. It's Thanksgiving. And as Jim Hightower just said in the commentary that some of the stations, some stations play them and some don't, we have much to be thankful for in America. It is an extraordinary opportunity and privilege for us to have been born into this nation, those of us who were born here or those of us who have come here via other means. And the recent immigrants, visitors living it's really an extraordinary place. And I say that knowing full well our faults and flaws and perhaps talking about them too much. But, I really believe if you're going to cure a disease, you have to diagnose it first. But this is an extraordinary land. And when you look at some of the realities of what's out there, for example, this article in the Los Angeles Times, November 23rd, culture clash, conservative revolution? No, just dazzling, effective PR. Turns out that most Americans are not as enamored of the corporate special interest conservative agenda as the corporate media would want you to think. And they point out that the Fox News Channel, they just go through this whole thing. And anyhow, when they say protecting the environment, do most people favor the Democrats or the Republicans? 60% Democrats, 28% Republicans. Improving the healthcare system, who will do a better job? The Democrats, 53% to 30%. Creating jobs, who will do a better job? You ask average Americans, 51% to 35%, Democrats over Republicans. Who's going to strengthen Social Security more effectively? 51% say the Democrats will, as opposed to 35% who say the Republicans will. Who's going to protect the middle class? Is it just questions that have been asked of, you know, average Americans? Who's going to protect the middle class? 52% say the Democrats, 37% say the Republicans. Of course, this is, you know, keeping in mind and acknowledging that we're kind of missing the Greens in here and the Progressive Party here in Vermont and things like that. But nonetheless, I'm thankful for this. The Democratic Party certainly has warts and has some problems, but if we, that the progressives, people who hold to the classic democratic ideals of Thomas Jefferson and the founders of the, and most of the founders of this nation, can successfully take back the Democratic Party from those who would hand it over to corporations, the DLC and whatnot. And frankly, it looks like that might be happening. Then we will have even more to be thankful for. Who's going to keep health care costs down more effectively? You'd think people would say, oh, that's Republicans. No, no, Democrats, 46 to 35. Who's going to balance the federal budget more effectively? Democrats, 47% to Republicans, 36%. See, people are waking up. I mean, that used to be the Republicans' big issue. I remember back in the 60s and 70s, that was, I mean, Ronald Reagan virtually ran on that issue and then, of course, busted the budget. But not that, I don't need to get into kicking Reagan. The things we're thankful for, ensuring retirement security, 48%, yes, Democrats will do it, 38% Republicans can handle it. Who's going to improve education? 45% of Americans say the Democrats, 37% say the Republicans. Who shares your values? That's about evenly split. Who's going to keep America prosperous? It's about evenly split, 44 to 43. In both cases, 1 point advantage for the Democrats. The only area where the Republicans hold a poll advantage is safeguarding America from a terrorist threat, 28 to 54%, 28 Democrats, 54 Republicans. And handling foreign affairs, Republicans have a 6-point lead at 47% over 41. So, you know, it's funny, I'm hearing an echo. Not sure if it's in my house or my headphones. Anyhow, anyone still boycotting French red wine might be doing so at the risk of shortening his life. That, at least, is one way to read a report in Nature's online magazine this week. According to a study reported in Nature, Harvard Medical School researcher David Sinclair has identified a substance, resveratrol, that activates enzymes known to extend the lifespan of yeast. The molecule stimulates a similar function enzyme in human cells, and Sinclair believes these enzymes serve the useful function of buying cells enough time to repair damage and ward off cell death. He presents his work with the requisite disclaimer that no one knows if resveratrol will have the same life-extending effect on mice or human beings. They're planning mouse studies. But that was quite interesting. I got sent to me by Veronique Raskin, who is with the Organic Wine Company, one of the two sponsors of this program. And so, of course, well, you know, it's just this is a story from the Boston Globe, so I can't say it's a spin. It's interesting stuff. And I think, you know, most of us have seen this. Today is Thanksgiving. Our program, by the way, brought to you today by Small Dog Electronics, 1-800-511-MAX, M-A-C-S, and also smalldog.com on the web, and the Organic Wine Company, ecowine.com on the web, 1-888-ECO-WINE, their phone number. And talking about what we're thankful for and positive about, I want to share with you, today is Thanksgiving. Tomorrow is Buy Nothing Day. Buy Nothing Day. Get that. Here's a clip. This is an ad from Adbusters that they're encouraging people around the country to buy and run on local media. Let me just share this with you quickly.
The average North American consumes five times more than a Mexican, 10 times more than a Chinese person, and 30 times more than a person from India. We are the most voracious consumers in the world. A world that could die because of the way we North Americans live. Give it a rest. November 28 is Buy Nothing Day.
Give it a rest. This is an interesting concept. If you go to adbusters.org, you can find the Buy Nothing Day 2003 campaign. And what they're suggesting is that people participate by taking a break tomorrow. Spend the time with your family. Spend the time with friends. Yeah, hang out with people you care about. You know, in our culture, we have this idea that the way that you get safety and security is by getting stuff. And there is a certain reality to that. There is a certain baseline reality to that. But it starts to break down once you get beyond that point, beyond a certain point. And by the way, let me just toss in here. 1-800-TALK-YES is our telephone number, 1-800-825-5937. And if you want to call and talk about any topic you want, it is a holiday. I am quite happy to go off on a digression if you wish. It's just a slow day. It's a pleasant day. Anyhow, we have this notion that stuff brings happiness. I mean, it's a pervasive story in our culture. And the truth that it's grounded in is the bottom part of Maslow's hierarchy of human needs, what's often characterized as a pyramid that has to do with safety and security. That if you're outside and alone at night and you're naked and cold and hungry, you will be unhappy. I mean, everybody can agree on that. That is a state of not happy. And if somebody brings you in and gives you, or if you figure out a way to get it on your own, and gives you a fire to sit by and a roof to sit under and a bed to sleep in and food to eat, a good glass of wine to drink or a glass of cider, you're going to go from unhappy to happy in short order. Keep talking about wine, don't I? I guess I noticed my mother-in-law, brother-in-law, and sister-in-law are coming over for Thanksgiving dinner right after I get off the air, and I noticed Louise had put wine glasses on the table, and I thought, do I have to wait 3 hours? Well, yeah, okay, I will. Anyhow, so you go from unhappy to happy in short order if you get your basic needs taken care of. And we all understand that. The lie that is promulgated by the corporate hucksters in the advertising world, and I say this with some knowledge of them, having been a partner in an ad agency and having been the founder of an advertising agency, both of which still exist, is that one of the ways that advertising works, and this is not fortunately the kind of advertising that I ever involved myself in, but one of the ways that advertising works is by convincing people that they're unhappy. By starting out telling people, your teeth are too yellow, therefore people won't like you. Or you have armpit hair, therefore they won't think you're sexy. Or, whatever. That we in a state of normalcy are somehow not good enough. Or, maybe your house is too small, or your car isn't spiffy enough, or whatever. And stirring up this sense, not just of, hey, here's some cool stuff, wouldn't it be fun to have it, but starting from the idea of telling people that they're broken, that they're not right the way they are, and they can become right if you buy the product. And this was, the Fijian study of teenage girls. This was published, I think, about 3 or 4 years ago by a Harvard researcher. And there were two of them. There was a woman who was the lead scientist, and I don't remember her name. It's been a long time since I read that, but she was a really, really good, solid scientist. And the remote parts of Fiji hadn't had TV in years, had never had TV. And they got TV about 6 years ago. And she studied the Fijian teenagers before and after TV. And right after we come back from this break, I'll tell you the results. It was pretty startling. And, you know, what we can learn from this and what we can do about it here in the United States. It's Thanksgiving. Thank you for listening. And stay tuned. There's more to come. We're going to have a great program today. We're going to have a lot of fun. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. We'll be right back.
From 7 a.m. to noon only, it's the Early Bird Sale at Radio Shack. Shop early and save big with incredible deals, like a Cyber Home DVD player with progressive scan. Just $29.99 after a $10 Radio Shack mail-in rebate. That's right, a DVD player for under $30. At such a great price, it's a perfect addition to any home entertainment system. This Friday from 7 a.m. till noon only during the Early Bird Sale at Radio Shack.
All store hours may vary.
Shop the Shack. Save big.
This is Eric Muller reporting from Chopper 5.
Cut!
News happens fast. Can I afford to let a cold slow me down? Not up here. When I'm achy, with a stuffy nose and a sore throat, I take Advil Cold and Sinus. It's got the power of Advil to handle tough pain, plus a hard-working decongestant. That's why they call it Advil Cold and Sinus.
Quick, over to the highway!
I call it fast relief for a reporter on the fly.
For tough colds, advance to Advil Cold and Sinus. Use as directed.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
Welcome back to the It's Not Your Fault You Didn't Know show. We're talking about the best way to spend your weekends, and we have two special guests right now. On the phone is the Terminator himself, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good, Arnold. And our other guest in studio is George W. How are you today, Mr. Bush?
What's the matter?
Okay, all of our listeners want to know what you do on your weekends. Well, I'm here to tell you that you can listen to the best of left-of-center political talk radio on Sundays now on IE America Radio Network.
Amazing.
George, your final words.
Stop it!
Thanks for joining us. Tune in tomorrow, same time. Have a nice day.
Just shut up!
The best of progressive talk radio can be heard on Sundays now on IE America Radio Network. For more information, call 1-800-397-8255 or go to IEAmericaRadio.com.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to the lifestyles of the wet and stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Bloodsucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying dreams.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
You may say.
Welcome back. Uncommon Sense from the Radical Middle, helping you win the water cooler wars. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Well, what happened with the teenage girls in Fiji was that they discovered that 3 years after television arrived, that before television arrived, a very low percentage, 1 to 2%, as I recall, perhaps 3% the maximum, were clinically anorexic or bulimic. That is, they were throwing up or modifying their, principally throwing up to regulate their weight. 3 years after the introduction of television, the number of teenage girls in Fiji who were anorexic had climbed between 15 and 20%. I don't remember the exact number, but it was just this explosion. Why? Because the message that they were getting from advertising was that this is the ideal of beauty, and that's not what they were seeing, because they were genetically kind of stocky people. And it was making them crazy. And a lot of cultures around the world are looking at American TV and going, wait a minute. But this is the core concept here is to give it up, to let go of the consumer driven madness. You know, what is the secret of enough? Our question for the hour: What's the secret of enough for you? How do you know that you've got enough, that you're happy? I mean, I in the course of my life, I've had some years where I made a lot of money. I've had some years where I made, you know, well below the poverty line. I look back on those years, and both the good and, well, let's say both the high and the low economically, and I can't tell a big difference, frankly. The differences that I remember when I look back on the years of my life are the times when I was with and happy with family, and or when I wasn't with family, or when there was conflict. And those seem to be the things that create or define the quality of life, the true quality of life. And so what the Buy Nothing Day folks are suggesting is, you know, very simple and straightforward, that we consider giving it a break. Take it easy. Hey, relax. You know, getting back to this truth and lie, I just want to wrap this thing up. The truth is that if you have a little bit of stuff and you get a little bit more, if it has to do with survival and safety, you go from unhappiness to happiness. And this is the game that they're playing with Social Security right now, by the way. A lot of people literally don't have enough for medicine. So this is a survival issue. This is why it's such a hot issue. But once survival needs are met, then they say, well, you know, if that much stuff, you know, having a place to sleep and food to eat and clothes to wear, if that much stuff will make you happy, then twice as much will make you twice as happy. 100 times as much will make you 100 times as happy. 1,000 times as much will make you 1,000 times as happy. And if you buy our products, or if you were to live like Bill Gates, you'll live in a state of perpetual bliss. And the reality is that Bill Gates does not live in a state of perpetual bliss. Nor does, I mean, you know, it's great wealth and just average life. You find it's fascinating. The psychological studies have been done over the years of how difficult it can be for some folks particularly who inherit wealth. 1-800-TALK-YES, our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Jim in Nashville, welcome to the program. Jim, we're going to take a break in just a second here.
Real quick, Tom.
Sure.
Talking to my wife a moment ago, and apparently Bush has gone to Iraq for some photo ops with the troops for his campaign. And evidently he found time out from his raising money to go visit the troops.
Oh, really? I noticed that Hillary's in Afghanistan. I'll have to check. I'll have to check that out. Jim, you want to hold on the line over the break, or was that what you wanted to say?
Well, Tom, I'm on my way home for turkey, and happy Thanksgiving to you. And
okay.
I have my health, and I'm happy. The only thing I want back is my country.
Thanks, Jim. Me too. We'll be right back.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Some clams dig deep to survive an invasion of foreign crabs. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. The European green crab first came to North America in the 1800s in the ballast of sailing ships. Today, the crab is a major problem along the northeastern coast of the United States. It eats just about anything it can get its claws on. That includes a valuable shellfish called the soft-shell clam. It appears that some of the native clams get away from the foreign crab by digging deep into the mudflats where they live. Lindsay Whitlow is an ecologist at Bowdoin College in Brunswick, Maine. He compared the shells of clams that were collected recently with shells that were stored in museums. The museum specimens were collected before the green crab became a problem. Whitlow says the clams have physically changed to be able to burrow more deeply into the mud. The changes protect them from green crabs, but they also make it harder for the clams to reach the microscopic plants they eat themselves. Whitlow says they now grow more slowly, and that has implications for people who harvest the clams and sell them.
In order to maintain a population of clams, most states regulate what size you can harvest them at. So they have to reach 2 inches before it's legal to pull them out of the mud. And so you can imagine that if they're a bunch of green crabs, not only are there going to be fewer clams, but it's going to take these clams longer to reach that harvestable size, so there'll be maybe even fewer clams available that clammers can take in and make a living on, and that people will have to eat in the summertime.
Whitlow says some towns along the East Coast are trying to rebuild local populations of soft-shell clams. They're trying to raise them in hatcheries and protect them in the wild with nets. But Whitlow says European green crabs are just one problem for the native clams. He says their survival also depends on the overall health of the coastal marine ecosystem. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Potatoes, hey, sweet potatoes, baked potatoes, potato chips, whoa, smoked sausage, fried chicken, pepperoni pizza, tenderloin chips. Nobody can make a donut do the thing you do. Believe me, baby, I've tried one of you. I've eaten meatballs in Sweden and pork chops in Peru. But all it did was remind me of you, baby. And your mashed potatoes, sweet potatoes. Oh, baby, pass the butter.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Looking in your eyes, I see a paradise. This world that I found is too good to be true. Standing here beside you.
Welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Talk radio for the rest of us. Sure enough, Jim was right. President Bush, I just checked here, the ABC News. Just a few minutes ago, President Bush made a surprise Thanksgiving visit to American troops in Baghdad today, flying secretly to violence-scarred Iraq on a trip tense with concerns about his safety. It was the first trip ever by an American president to Iraq. Air Force One landed in darkness at Baghdad International Airport. Security fears were heightened by an attack last Saturday in which a missile struck a DHL cargo plane, forcing it to make an emergency landing. Bush was to spend only 2 hours on the ground. The troops had been told the VIP guest would be L. Paul Bremer, blah de blah de blah. So, yeah, sure enough, a photo op. He's truly, truly worried about his poll standings here, and he's got to turn himself from bumbler into warrior in the eyes of the American people. This appears to be step one in rehabilitating his image. 1-800-TALK-YES, our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Jeff in Denver's on the line. Hey, Jeff, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, thank you, Tom. Happy Thanksgiving to you. And maybe Bush can stay in Iraq and form a new government there, and we can form a new one here.
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice?
As far as you're talking about things in the world, I like the philosophy of everything you own owns you.
Yes. In fact, there's a quote to that effect. It'll probably come to me, and I'm trying to think of it. But there, yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, I've been spending my days right now sorting through my things, thinking, look how much effort they take just to store, to keep clean, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm doing everything I can to simplify my life right now, and it's getting a lot nicer.
Yeah, you know, we moved from a larger house into a smaller house a couple of years ago, about 2 years ago. Our last of our kids moved away, and you know, and we ended up with we've got one of those storage lockers, you know, the storage spaces that you rent, you stick a bunch of furniture and stuff in, and it's like, you know, our stuff is now kind of, you know, being dragged around on, it's the ball of the ball and chain.
Yeah.
And it's the effort necessary to appropriately dispose of it is you know, just trying to find the time in the day to do that. We've been paying for this storage instead because we've just been so busy, and it's like, wow. Yeah,
I'm spending way too much time sorting through the old things to get rid of them, and it's just ridiculous. And I look at these things and go, you know, I haven't listened to that piece of music in 20 years, haven't read that book in 30 years, whatever.
Yeah.
And
so,
really,
so Jeff,
am I going to ever read it again?
Yeah, good question. And tomorrow, are you going to observe Buy Nothing Day and just hang out at home?
Most days are Buy Nothing Day for me.
Yeah.
Spend it with friends. One thing, the word consumption was interesting. It was a disease 100 years ago.
That's right. That's the word they used to use for tuberculosis.
Yeah, and the term consumer was actually a nasty word, as far as I'm aware, during that period, too. And I would love to find a word. You know, we talk about you being a good consumer. Well, I'd like to find a word that would be an alternative to consuming anyway. Because, you know, it's just, I don't consume much. I don't purchase much. And I would like to find a term we can use for that.
Yeah, yeah. Homeostasis is, you know, of course, it's not an appropriate pop term, but that's what we need to achieve, both collectively, individually, family level, nation level. Homeostasis with our environment, economic homeostasis. The whole idea of sustainable growth is an oxymoron. We need to figure out what's the appropriate boundary point, what's the appropriate point at which people can function, they can have make a living, get jobs, have their needs met, and yet not be burning through the environment, the natural resources, depleting our soils of micronutrients and minerals. We have a real challenge here.
Yeah,
that's
course.
The bad news. The good news is there's huge movements of people committed to it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just absolutely huge.
Yes, okay. It's amazing. And so there's so many people that would like to be committed, but they don't know there's anybody out there doing anything.
Word is spreading.
Yes.
I mean, I remember when Silent Spring was published. I was a teenager, you know, back in the 1960s, and nobody was doing anything about the environment. It was, the first Earth Day was in the early 1980s, wasn't it, as I recall, 83 or thereabouts?
The first Earth Day?
And,
it was actually around 1969.
69, really?
Or maybe 70, yeah, because I can remember walking to school that day.
Oh, interesting. Well, I must have been oblivious.
But one of the things...
Not impossible.
Yeah, I come from a background of training as a biologist, and look at how everything works in cycles, and humankind has forgotten about cycles. And we need to look at everything. When we pull something out of the ground, well, where is it going to go? Can we continue this cycle?
Yeah. You know,
and we rarely, in our society, seem to have the philosophy of cycles. The philosophy, anything about return. It's always take, take, take. It's rarely about give.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was writing about that this morning for this book that I'm doing for Random House for next summer, and I'll get into that later in the program. It's a good one.
Yeah, I think at this time a good book to read at this moment would be Ishmael.
Yeah. All three of Dan Quinn's books that deal with those topics, Ishmael, My Ishmael, and The Story of B, are excellent. Ishmael is probably the best of the three. My Ishmael does a good job of extending it a little bit farther. I thought that was good. The story of B at the very end, I felt like, you know, his plot device ruined the book for me, frankly. But I thought it was all three are excellent books. So, in fact, one of his books, the one that has the word civilization in the title, you will find my name on the back cover. I wrote a blurb for it. And now I'm drawing the blank on the title of the book. But anyhow, Dan Quinn is a genius. Brilliant man. A real contributor to our culture. Jeff, thank you for the call. And happy Thanksgiving to you. And it sounds like you've vanished. So, 1-800-TALK-YES, our number, 1-800-825-5937. Roy in Rio Rancho, New Mexico is on the line. Hey, Roy, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Good morning, Tom. We do have some things to be thankful for, lots of things. We just sometimes have to step back and remember those things and put other things in perspective. One of the things that I am, quite frankly, very, very thankful for is that, like Mike Malloy says, Al Gore invented the Internet. That way I've got IE America Radio. I got you. I got Malloy. I can find Randy Rhodes, Bernie Ward, Buzz Flash, Mark Top, Common Dreams, and The Guardian, Asian Times, and I can stay informed.
Yeah, it's really remarkable how the Internet has become the alternative to Fox News. I mean, it would be fascinating to do some study on to what extent Fox News has you know, or the right-wing media, the overt right-wing media, the Washington Times and Fox News being the leaders, have risen over the last 5 years, although the Washington Times is still losing money every year.
Right. James brought up a couple points that just keyed in. I got a little off track of what I was going to talk about. Mm. But the first Earth Day, if I remember correctly, Nixon was the president. That bleeding heart liberal Nixon was the president when that was happening. The same guy that was the president when OSHA got off the ground.
Oh, and the EPA.
And the EPA. And.
Yeah.
I guess
he'd But he also had a Democratic Congress, and it was all of those pieces of legislation were proposed by Democratic Congresses. Nixon was perfectly willing to take credit for them.
Right.
And the Republicans would love to portray Nixon as an environmentalist and a lover of workers. But it was a Democratic Congress that proposed those things, that passed those things, over the objection of many Republicans who fought long and hard to stop them.
And then, I was absolutely surprised when you said that Bush had actually was going to Iraq, because the whole cover story was he was going to call the troops.
Yeah,
and that sounded more in line with his self-preservation instincts, I thought, rather than. And I found it also interesting that he finally got around to addressing some of the families of the troopers that had been killed.
Yeah.
After all of the press pressure, and I guess why this is making me more irritated this morning than normal. I've got a nephew that was medevaced to Germany. He's recovered. He's going back to Iraq right after the first of the year. Now, they did give him leave as long as he could pay for it to get from Germany to home.
Mm-hmm.
Now, hey, how about Air Force One stopping in? Well, actually, they don't even have stop in Germany. They can take a bunch of the guys that are due for rotation out of Iraq and bring them home rather than make them spend their own money.
Yeah.
Or they can stop in Germany and bring some of those guys home. Do something to support the troops rather than get your picture taken.
We've got to give these tax cuts to billionaires first. I mean, you know, first things first here. It's really, you got a bunch of millionaires and billionaires in America who want to have their tax cuts and you know, doggone it, they're not going to contribute to the Republican Party if they don't get them. And so, well, if the troops, you know, if it's going to cost one of these kids a few hundred bucks to get his to make his way home, or even $1,000, you know, typically the cost of a last-minute ticket.
My wife right now is out at the airport with my mother-in-law. She can throw the $1,200 on her credit card because her daughter doesn't have enough to get him home. He didn't have enough. And they couldn't pool their money. It had to be on one credit card.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just, but that's supporting the troops. But anyway, it would be tempting to be negative. The good thing is he gets to come home for a few days. And I appreciate your show. I appreciate Mike's show.
Yeah,
I appreciate the whole attitude and with James as far as keeping this stuff down. Why do we need to buy stuff? And the thing that bothers me the most is not that my generation is striving to do it, is they're contaminating the babies and the kids. When they got two-year-olds screaming for Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah.
And when they're starting to brand gas stations to four-year-olds so that when they get up and finally are able to start driving, they've already got the brand ingrained in them. That's just disgusting.
It's definitely over the top, and a lot of parents are revolting against it. There's most of the years, with the exception of maybe about 2 years of the years that we were raising our children, we did not have television in our home. I don't mean we didn't have cable. We didn't have television. We had no machine, no television machine in our house for at least two-thirds of the roughly 25 years that our kids, or 20 years anyway, that our kids were at home. And we had only a TV with a VCR hooked up to it the last few years that our kids were at home. And, in fact, Louise and I first got cable when I started doing this radio program, because I just, you know, I can't escape having to have electronic contact with the world if I'm going to talk about current events on the radio every day.
Right.
But it was a huge shift in our lifestyle to get television.
We were lucky because we're in rural New Mexico outside of the Albuquerque market. We're under a mountain, so the signal goes over the top of us. So my son grew up with one, I think it was ABC, and the signal was good enough that if there was a football game on we wanted to see, we could watch it.
There you
and
go.
The only signal that came in halfway decent was the public broadcast. So my son grew up without it.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I don't know. It's, you know, each generation thinks the other one's going to hell, but I think we finally hit the point where maybe we better make some changes. We better make them darn soon.
Well, I think the young people now are waking up. There's a tremendous backlash among young people too. I mean, the whole anti-consumerism thing, Adbusters, the Naomi Klein kind of mindset.
There's just so many. Yes, there is that nucleus, but I'm concerned that they're not going to be strong enough to overcome. I mean, even if 30% of the people made the efforts that needed to be done, that means two-thirds of the people are not making those efforts.
Yeah, but Roy, the way it works is, generally speaking, when you see shifts in a culture, is that it doesn't take a majority of people to create a shift in a culture. It just takes a certain critical mass. And, of course, what that critical mass is depends on what the issue is. But you start getting 5, 10%, 15%. This was one of the big things that they discovered in marketing when they started noticing that brands would suddenly, without anybody in the industry having any idea why, all of a sudden a brand would take off. And they discovered that kids in the ghetto were starting to wear particular products and turning them, boom, like that, into an in product. And it was just ripping across the culture. And so, of course, then they said, okay, we'll try and get out ahead of this curve. And so that's when they started marketing into poverty areas to try and change that. But the reality is that it doesn't take everybody to create a change. It just takes an awakened core. I don't, you know, and it's going to vary from group to group. But I travel around the country and give talks on attention deficit disorder. I've written 7 books on it, and education, and I do in-service training for schools and things. I haven't been so much this year because of the radio show, but I've been doing that a lot over the last 7, 8 years, 10 years or so. And it's remarkable to me the number of parents, the number of families now who have gotten rid of cable, you know, who will just listen, just like you, have one TV station that they can get, and or who are limiting it. They're going back to how when I was in the 50s as a child growing up, I remember sitting on a Saturday morning in front of the TV with a test pattern on it, waiting for the cartoons to come on at 7 o'clock, and there was just not that much program. You know, I remember the TV signing off at 11:30 after the news at night, you know, with the flag and the national anthem. And then it went blank for the rest of the night. The transmitter shut down, and people are starting to just say, "That's it, in our family. We're gonna ration this stuff. It's a drug. We're gonna use it carefully, judiciously, thoughtfully, as if it was alcohol or something."
That could be a real turning point.
Yeah.
I don't know how many people that I have talked to that have gotten so irritated every time they see one of these $60,000-$80,000 Hummers driving down the road.
Oh.
That becomes, you know, I think that's the icon for total selfish, irresponsible consumption.
Yeah, and there is a social stigma that is rapidly being associated with it. Roy, thanks for the call. I appreciate your comments, and very kind of you to call and wish us a happy Thanksgiving. I hope you have a great Thanksgiving with your family there in Rio Rancho. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
Create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation, but how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This season, don't just give a gift, give the good life at the Thanksgiving weekend sale at Sears. All weekend, save big throughout the store. Plus, this Friday, come into Sears from 6 to 11 a.m. and save 50% off hundreds of items, from electronics to fine jewelry, including our lowest price ever on a Sylvania Combination TV-DVD player, just $129.99. Can't wait for the holidays? Then hurry into Sears and save big. Find us online at Sears.com or at America Online, keyword Sears. This holiday, give the good life. Sears, good life, great price. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Sale ends 11/28/03.
This is Eric Muller reporting from Chopper 5.
Cut!
News happens fast. Can I afford to let a cold slow me down? Not up here. When I'm achy, with a stuffy nose and a sore throat, I take Advil Cold and Sinus. It's got the power of Advil to handle tough pain, plus a hard-working decongestant. That's why they call it Advil Cold and Sinus.
Quick, over to the highway!
I call it fast relief for a reporter on the fly.
For tough colds, advance to Advil Cold and Sinus. Use as directed.
This Friday from 7 a.m. to noon only, it's the Early Bird Sale at Radio Shack. Shop early and save big with incredible deals, like a Cyber Home DVD player with progressive scan. Just $29.99 after a $10 Radio Shack mail-in rebate. That's right, a DVD player for under $30. At such a great price, it's a perfect addition to any home entertainment system. This Friday from 7 a.m. till noon only during the Early Bird Sale at Radio Shack.
All store hours may vary.
Shop the Shack. Save big.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Greetings, everybody. This is Ramsey Pollard, Jr., the host of IE America's Sunday afternoon travel show, Ramblin' with Ramsey, on air 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Almost every Sunday, I travel to some location to offer you the opportunity of not only receiving wonderful printed material about the location, but to win a prize, maybe a couple of nights in a hotel or a resort or T-shirts or fudge. Oh, yes, there's always a lot of fudge. Come on, tune us in on your radio or go to IEAmericaRadio.com. I'll be there.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday for Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday.
The Mike Molloy Show.
According to Abbas,
Immediately after Bush promised to speak with Sharon about the siege on Arafat, Bush said, quote, God told me to strike at Al-Qaeda, and I struck them. And then God instructed me to strike at Saddam, which I did. When God specifically whispers in someone's ear, I want you to go kill those people, and they go ahead and kill somebody, what do we do with those folks? We arrest them, they are jailed, in some instances, executed. We immediately identify them as crazy. You know, Ashcroft is going to say,
wait a second, George. God has been talking to me. God told me. Not you. God told me. These people are crazy.
They're coming to take me away, ha-ha. They're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
So they're coming to take me away, ha-ha.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
The world of turkey is not always nice. You can serve down the table with taters of rice. We call it Thanksgiving, but what about me? What's time to give thanks? Cause I'm a turkey. That was stupid, the worst of the birds. But come dinner time, you know who gets served. Yes, we drown when we look up in the rain. And we'll all die from fright at the sound of the train.
And welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, and it's the day before Buy Nothing Day. Today is Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving to you. Let me just play one more time this Buy Nothing Day ad at the same time. I'm not going to say, give you a pitch here, but the Buy Nothing Day ad tomorrow. This is. Let's not get involved in the retail frenzy. This is not, Adbusters people are real clear about this. They're not saying it's wrong to buy things. They're saying conspicuous consumption is destructive. Here it is. Oops, hang on just a second. I've got to push the right button.
The average North American consumes 5 times more than a Mexican, 10 times more than a Chinese person, and 30 times more than a person from India. We are the most voracious consumers in the world. A world that could die because of the way we North Americans live. Give it a rest. November 28 is Buy Nothing Day.
And that's the ad, and that's the day tomorrow. And let me encourage you to spend it with family or friends or just hanging out, taking it easy. Have you seen it? By the way, have you seen liberalhearts.com? This website, I think it's Liberal Hearts, liberalhearts.com. Who wants to be a first lady? And here are all of these women who have put themselves into the running. Gina Marie in New Jersey, age 33, occupation confidential aide to the sheriff. Jerry, who's 20, occupation college student. Kathy in New York, age 52, occupation high school math teacher. They're all competing to marry Dennis Kucinich and be the First Lady of the United States. Tracy in South Carolina, age 30. We're going to have Dennis Kucinich on the program tomorrow. We'll have to ask him how this is going here. His search for a wife. Charlotte in Washington, age 65, Sierra Club member, bicyclist, and deep ecologist. He probably find a soulmate here. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. In our next hour, we're going to ask, did nice guys win? And I mean that in a larger sense here. It's going to be an interesting hour. Stay tuned. This is the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network.
It's coming from the field that this ain't exactly real, or it's real but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from sirens night and day, from the fires of the...
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing.
Humpty-back camels and...
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Yes, I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off...
Why?
...is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. Smooth sailing is expected for the giant balloons in the 77th annual Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade in New York City today. Winds are expected to reach no higher than 10 miles per hour, eliminating any fears that the bevy of cartoon characters would have to be grounded. Led by Jake the helium-stuffed turkey, who last appeared in 1959, the giant balloons are expected to float with ease in the parade. The National Weather Service has forecast winds of 5 to 10 miles per hour during the duration of the parade, with mostly cloudy skies. Several thousand watched in chilly temperatures last night as the big balloons were filled with helium near Central Park. New York Democratic Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton is making a trip to Iraq and Afghanistan to share a Thanksgiving meal with New York Army troops and assess conditions in Iraq. Joining is Senator Jack Reed of Rhode Island, the ranking Democratic member on the Armed Services Strategic Subcommittee and a former Army paratrooper. Reed organized the trip. Clinton has sought to expand her voice on foreign affairs with her position on the Armed Services Committee and earlier this year voted to give Bush broad war authority. The trip marks Clinton's first fact-finding mission since joining the Armed Services Committee earlier this year. Democratic presidential contender Howard Dean joined family members Wednesday for the emotional return of the remains of three Americans and an Australian missing since the Vietnam War. Dean believes one of the Americans was his brother. Remains tentatively identified as those of Charles M. Dean and his friend, Australian Neil Sharman, civilians traveling in Southeast Asia when they were killed in 1974, were discovered this month buried in a rice field in central Laos. The other two sets of remains are believed to be airmen unearthed in separate sites in northeastern Laos. More IE America Network news after this.
I'm Don Henley. 2003 marks the centennial anniversary of the National Wildlife Refuge System. Today, more than 530 refuges conserve some 90 million acres throughout the country. With a refuge in each and every state, and many within short drives of major cities, it's easy to see what the National Wildlife Refuge System is all about. Help us celebrate this truly outstanding legacy. Visit your local refuge.
A 6-year-old dog is being credited with saving a flock of sheep from drowning in floodwaters in Washington state. The Australian Kelpie, known as Abby, went to work to save the sheep when the nearby Stillaguamish River overflowed with little warning last month. Heavy rains October 20th and 21st brought widespread flooding to western Washington. Going where people couldn't walk, Abby herded the sheep from one barn to another and eventually drove the sheep to safety. About 60 sheep were put into a trailer and carried to higher ground. Unlike some herding dogs, Kelpies have no distaste for water, and the sheep are glad of that. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller. Happy Thanksgiving.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
This season, don't just give a gift, give the good life at the Thanksgiving weekend sale at Sears. All weekend, save big throughout the store. Plus, this Friday, come into Sears from 6 to 11 a.m. and save 50% off hundreds of items, from electronics to fine jewelry, including our lowest price ever on a Sylvania combination TV-DVD player, just $129.99. Can't wait for the holidays? Then hurry into Sears and save big. Find us online at Sears.com or at America Online, keyword Sears. This holiday, give the good life. Sears, good life, great price. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Sale ends 11/28/03.
On this Thanksgiving Day, one thing that I'm thankful for is to be a progressive in America, even in this age of bourgeois. What makes me thankful is the great rebellious spirit and progressive ideals that I find among the great majority of our people. A spirit and progressivism that can't be drained from us even by the collective efforts of Bush Co., the corporate kleptocrats, and the wobblycrats in Washington. Luckily, I get to travel a lot, speaking and working with folks all across America. So I don't have to take my impression of people's beliefs and attitudes from the establishment press, pundits, pollsters, and politicos. And I can tell you that contrary to the contrived conventional wisdom of these establishment elites, Americans are not a bunch of meek, trust authority, just-go-shopping corporate conservatives clutching duct tape and religiously watching Fox television to learn what it is we're supposed to think and do. Rather, we're the same bunch of restless and raucous rebels, anti-establishment mutts and mavericks who've always been drawn to this big brawling and sprawling country and who have steadily extended our egalitarian ideals over the decades. Everywhere I go, I find that ordinary grassroots Americans are lighting little prairie fires of rebellion against the economic and political exclusion being practiced by the power elites. You hear little about it from the media barons, but more than 112 cities have already passed living wage initiatives. Students on more than 50 campuses have outlawed sweatshop goods from Nike and others. Nearly 200 towns have defeated Walmart and other big box bullies from bulldozing into their communities. More than 200 cities, towns, and counties have passed formal actions against the liberty-busting USA Patriot Act and, well, the list goes on of modern-day rebels fighting and winning to take our democracy back. This is Jim Hightower saying, thanks to all of you on this Thanksgiving Day for your great rebellious spirit.
We have this representative sampling from yesterday addressed to Dudley Do-Right.
Yes, sir, Inspector!
You must be a miserable person. You think everybody is out to screw you. You don't like the Republicans, George W., government authority, police, fire, CIA, FBI, NSA, phone companies, airlines, successful people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Covers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Well, you know, this morning when I woke up, turned on the radio to listen to the news, and there was the story of Hillary Clinton in Afghanistan, meeting with the troops, her and the other senator that she's traveling with. And I commented to Louise, I said something to the effect of, it sounds like Hillary is trying to take, because they played a clip of her speech, and she was, you know, we are going to win this thing. Those Taliban, they are never going to take over this country. We are going to take over. And it was a warrior speech. It was not an anti-Bush speech. It was not a, you know, gee, isn't it nice? I'm happy to be. It was a warrior speech. And I said to Louise, it sure sounds to me like Hillary is trying to take the mantle of warrior away from George W. Bush on this holiday. And Thanksgiving, of course, is a slow news day. So if you've got something hot, it's going to be right up there. And then you've got the football game coming and all this stuff, you know. And apparently, I wasn't the only one who thought that. Apparently, in the White House, Karl Rove and company saw Hillary go over to Afghanistan and thought, well, you know, a Clinton is going to one up George W. No way. And hey, you know, hey, boys and girls, let's make an expedition. And so off they go, and you know, with incredible security. Now, what's particularly interesting to me about this is the way that it is being reported. I've only read the American reports. I haven't seen any American TV on this because they just, you know, they wanted to release it clearly. They timed this thing so that they could release it for maximum impact, you know, just before Thanksgiving lunch, before any games start, anything like that. But the BBC has a report on it, and it's really interesting to hear the BBC's take on it, rather than, George Bush, warrior president, goes and triumphal, you know, nice guy, wonderful thing, troops are happy, isn't life great? It was a little different.
The president left. He is now on his way back to the United States on board Air Force One.
Yes, so, as you would expect, given what we saw over last weekend with that DHL plane targeted by a missile. They were obsessed with the security surrounding the president. I gather only a few officials from the White House.
And here comes the BBC take on this thing. It's fascinating.
Broke whilst they were in the air. They were prepared to actually turn back to Washington. They were taking absolutely no chances here.
Absolutely, Matthew. I think really what this underscores is just how serious the security situation still is in Iraq. The Americans are insisting that they're winning this war, that they are getting on top of it. But the obvious point about it is that they still can't control the security here. They cannot guarantee the security of the President of the United States in a country that they are now occupying. It is a very difficult situation for them. They want to be able to present the president of the United States in Iraq. They want him to be able to visit the troops. But to be able to have to do it under these circumstances, I think, really does underline just how much work they have still to go.
That's fascinating. Here we have the American media, of course. I mean, you know, Fox will have this plastered from edge to edge with American flags, no doubt. But the BBC is going, oh, isn't this interesting? This demonstrates the failure of his policies and the challenges that he's facing, because he can't even fly into the country that he owns now in a relatively straightforward way. Which brings us to the question for the hour, which is, do nice guys win? Or better put, perhaps, is nonviolence and nonviolence and democracy values that will ultimately triumph over violence and power? And we had a guest on yesterday who was talking about this. The ambassador, Mark, what was his last name? Andrews, as I recall. And his book, I found fascinating. And I've been writing about this and researching this, and I remember, well, actually what got me thinking about this was a story in the Associated Press today. And this so illustrates the difference in approach between somebody who's committed to nonviolence and democracy versus George W. Bush, who is committed to violence and has been, I mean, you know, as governor bragged about killing people, the number of people he'd put to death. Laughing about Carla Faye Tucker to a Time magazine reporter. Might have even been George Will, I don't recall. And here, on the other hand, we have the Dalai Lama. The Dalai Lama suggests friendship with China to promote change. That was the headline, this article by Nicole Winfield in today's Associated Press. Rome, countries shouldn't confront China directly on the delicate Tibet issue, but rather befriend it and work to promote human rights and religious freedom through a trusting relationship with Beijing, the Dalai Lama said Wednesday. Now, about, I don't know, 4 years ago or so, thereabouts, something like that, 4 years ago, maybe 5 years ago, I was invited to spend a week with the Dalai Lama at his home in Dharamsala, India. He actually lives in the next village up, McLeod Ganj. And Dharamsala is where the Norbalinka Institute is, which is the main center for Tibetan Buddhism in the world now. Dharamsala, by the way, is a word in, I believe, in Hindi, in the language of India, the main language of India, I don't think it's Tibetan, that means refuge. And it's a city up in the foothills of the Himalayas, just over the border from Tibet. And we spent a week with him. And it was fascinating. It was called the Synthesis Dialogues. In fact, New Dimensions Radio, Michael Toms of New Dimensions Radio was there, Michael and Justine Toms, and they audio recorded the whole thing. And you can find big chunks of it on their website at newdimensions.org. And the idea was to get together a group of the, at the risk of patting myself on the back, the leading thinkers in the world on specific issues, and having them meet together with the Dalai Lama for this week. And Gene Houston and I were there representing education, and there was one other person who was in our group. There was David C. Corton was there representing economics, along with a few others. It was an interesting. He wrote the book When Corporations Rule the World, and as a former official with the World Bank and whatnot. And it was a fascinating meeting. A series of meetings, actually. The first day, the first half of the first day was pomp and ceremony. We had, you know, he came down into Dharamsala, and they had, you know, all these people show up. And this is a community of maybe 100,000, 150,000 people, and all of them are refugees. I mean, while we were there, people showed up. And it's not just like people show up and say, hi, I'm here from Tibet. It's like people cross the mountains, they climb the Himalayas, you know, crossing glaciers and things. One night when I was walking back to the B&B where I was staying, there was something that was walking right alongside me in the dark. There's this trail through the forest that's about a half mile long from the town. We were staying up in McLeod Ganj, which is the same city in which the Dalai Lama lives. That and Dharamsala are about 5 miles apart. And something was following me, and I couldn't see it. I didn't know what it was, but it was something big. I thought at first it was a person because of the noise it was making as it was walking along the trail next to me. And so I hurried up, and I got down to the guest house and got in, and I just in casual conversation was talking with the guy who ran it, and I said, you know, there's something following me, and he said, was it moving slowly or was it moving fast? Was it you know, making a lot of noise, or was it very, very quiet? And I said, well, it was quite quiet, but it sounded quite heavy. And he said, well, it was probably a tiger. If it was making a lot of noise, it was probably a monkey. And we had been harassed by the monkeys a few times, but he said about three times a year somebody gets eaten by a tiger out there. And there are bears, literally, you know, I mean, big bears. So what happens is these families show up having made this, you know, multi-day, multi-week journey, these refugees from Tibet, and they might set out as a dozen people in the family, and only two or three of them survive the trip. I mean, people die of disease, they die of the cold, they get eaten by tigers, they get killed by rebels, they get robbed by opportunists, by the bandits, and even while we were there, everybody who shows up, the Dalai Lama meets and he gives them food and he arranges for a place for them to stay, and the whole community gets together and, you know, okay, we've got to build another room on another house. And so every day he is seeing the consequence and of the violence of China against Tibet. And these people come with horrific stories. I met and spoke with a number of them. And, I mean, just stories of entire families being murdered because somebody was politically active. Of, you know, people being deported to other parts of, into China. Chinese families being brought in, being forced into slavery of all kinds. Just absolutely horrific stories. And he's dealing day by day, and has been for several decades, with the reality of the brutality that the Chinese, and I mean just violent brutality. What the Chinese have done in Tibet makes Saddam Hussein look like a saint. This is no exaggeration. They have murdered over 1 million Tibetans. There are only 6 million Tibetans to begin with. There's about 4 million now. They murdered 1 million of them, and they deported 1 million of them and scattered them across China. And he was dealing with this. And at one point in our conversations, this is the second day that we got together, one of the people, we actually internally had this really rather heated debate about whether we should offer to lead a boycott in the United States, similar to the boycott movement in the United States that brought down the government of South Africa. And in fact, one of the people in our group who I frankly I don't remember his name any longer, but he had been one of the leaders of the South African boycott movement in the United States and around the world. I believe he was European, actually, but it was, you know, it was a worldwide effort. But and there was this hot debate because there were a couple of people there representing science who were saying, hey, we're not here. We don't want to talk about politics. We came here to hang out with the Dalai Lama. And this is his battle, not our battle. And there were others of us who were saying, no, we got to do something. We've got to do something. And finally, after an afternoon in which he wasn't present, it was just us. It was about 20 of us just kind of fighting this thing out. We decided to offer him our help in leading a boycott. Right after this break, I'll tell you what happened. It's just a remarkable story. 1-800-TALK-YES, by the way, is our number. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, the talk radio for the rest of us. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
This season, don't just give a gift. Give the good life at the Thanksgiving weekend sale at Sears. All weekend, save big throughout the store. Plus, this Friday, come into Sears from 6 to 11 a.m. and save 50% off hundreds of items, from electronics to fine jewelry, including our lowest price ever on a Sylvania Combination TV-DVD player, just $129.99. Can't wait for the holidays? Then hurry into Sears and save big. Find us online at Sears.com or at America Online, keyword Sears. This holiday, give the good life. Sears. Good life, great price. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Sale ends 11-28-03.
This Friday from 7 a.m. to noon only, it's the Early Bird Sale at Radio Shack. Shop early and save big with incredible deals for only $5. Save over 60% on a Barbie alarm clock, only $5. Save over 60% on a Smart Sharp touchscreen organizer, again, just $5. And don't forget, our colorful M&M Groovy radios are half price for, you guessed it, $5. This Friday from 7 a.m. till noon only during the Early Bird Sale at Radio Shack.
Mall store hours may vary.
Shop the Shack, save big.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817. The Washington Monthly.
This season, don't just give a gift. Give the good life at the Thanksgiving weekend sale at Sears. All weekend, save big throughout the store. Plus, this Friday, come into Sears from 6 to 11 a.m. and save 50% off hundreds of items, from electronics to fine jewelry, including our lowest price ever on a Sylvania Combination TV-DVD player, just $129.99. Can't wait for the holidays? Then hurry into Sears and save big. Find us online at Sears.com or at America Online, keyword Sears. This holiday, give the good life. Sears. Good life, great price. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Sale ends 11-28-03.
Show.
We are very lucky tonight to have joining us from California, Geneva, BartCop.com's resident astrologer. Can you tell us anything about George W. Bush's chart?
There was a lot of stuff in his chart. He's got a lot of aspects on his own that would indicate that he would be easily maneuvered into being a puppet, a front man, or people who had more of a scheme in mind like that.
He is a very weak man when you get right down to it, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Extremely weak-willed. What sort of looming obstacles might keep Bush from being reelected? Is he going to face some sort of impeachment, criminal charges? Can you elaborate?
Well, that would be nice. I mean,
it would.
If they did it to Clinton with as little as they had to go on.
Oh, my God.
Why not?
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Sun is shining, the weather is sweet. Make you want to move your dancing feet to the rescue. Here I am.
It's the pill that will help you escape the matrix. Welcome back. Tom Hartman here on the IE America Radio Network. I was telling you the story about the Dalai Lama. By the way, a bunch of folks in our chat room today, if you want to drop in, go to www.tomhartman.com and click the chat link. And it'll take you to a forum in CompuServe. Click the chat button and boom, it drops you right into the chat room. You're welcome to join us and participate. If you'd like to call the program, our number is 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. And anyhow, we had this just wild argument about whether we should get political or not, and ended up agreeing ultimately that we would offer, and you know, among the more or less 20 of us, I don't remember the exact number that were there, that there were probably, you know, there were millions and millions of people, I don't know, 30, 50 million, something like that, who had read our books or read our online stuff or, you know, listened to us or whatever. I mean, we had in this group a collection of people who constituted the ability to make some noise in the United States if we all did it in a concerted fashion. And so, anyhow, we get together with him the next day, the next morning, because basically what we spent... The first day, the first half day was ceremonial, and then the second half of the day we met in the private library at Norval Inc. Institute. And then the second day we met just privately without him. And then the third and the fourth days we met with him both morning and afternoon, just sat and talked. And then the last day, Friday, was at his private residence at where those who wanted could take refuge. We sat in his private meditation room, and he did a ceremony initiating people into Buddhism, those who were interested in taking refuge from him, becoming... you don't have to give something up to become Buddhist, so you can be a Jewish Buddhist or a Christian Buddhist or whatever. So anyhow, people taking refuge. And so this was that first full day with him after the day, you know, the day... And so we got together, and we said, we are willing to lead a boycott of Chinese goods until they stop killing Tibetans. And he said, well, my understanding is that if you let a boycott, that could have serious negative consequences on China, that there might be children in China who would go hungry as a result of a boycott of Chinese goods. And the fellow who had kind of instigated this or was... you know, most in favor of it, who had worked on the South Africa boycott, said, yes, in fact, thousands of people in South Africa died of starvation and disease as a consequence of the boycott. He said, sometimes there's a price to be paid for freedom. And the Dalai Lama said, and you have to know that the Chinese would not react to this easily. There would be more violence against my people, at least over the short term, and as a result of this. And we all acknowledged that that was the case. That was exactly what had happened in South Africa. And he said, well, I thank you very much for making this kind offer. He said, you're not the first to have made it. Apparently, Steven Spielberg and Richard Gere had been there, as I recall, a few months earlier and had made a similar offer. He said, you're not the first. He said, and others have, and he told us this story. And he said, but respectfully, I'm going to have to decline. I'm wildly paraphrasing here. This is not how he speaks. He speaks much more eloquently. And he said, because if we take an action here in this room that causes even one child in China to die as a result of it, that's too high a price to pay for the freedom of my people. He said, if we want to create a peaceful society, we must do it by peaceful means. And here today, this story. Countries shouldn't confront China directly on the delicate Tibet issue, but rather befriend it and work to promote human rights and religious freedom through a trusting relationship with Beijing, the Dalai Lama said Wednesday. And it was just an epiphanous moment for me. I got it. We are not separate. There's not a you out there and an us in here. We're all us. And that's the lesson I got from that experience and the story I'd like to share with you. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Some clams dig deep to survive an invasion of foreign crabs. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. The European green crab first came to North America in the 1800s in the ballast of sailing ships. Today, the crab is a major problem along the northeastern coast of the United States. It eats just about anything it can get its claws on. That includes a valuable shellfish called the softshell clam. It appears that some of the native clams get away from the foreign crab by digging deep into the mudflats where they live. Lindsay Whitlow is an ecologist at Bowdoin College in Brunswick, Maine. He compared the shells of clams that were collected recently with shells that were stored in museums. The museum specimens were collected before the green crab became a problem. Whitlow says the clams have physically changed to be able to burrow more deeply into the mud. The changes protect them from green crabs, but they also make it harder for the clams to reach the microscopic plants they eat themselves. Whitlow says they now grow more slowly, and that has implications for people who harvest the clams and sell them.
In order to maintain a population of clams, most states regulate what size you can harvest them at. So they have to reach 2 inches before it's legal to pull them out of the mud. And so you can imagine that if there are a bunch of green crabs, not only are there going to be fewer clams, but it's going to take these clams longer to reach that harvestable size, so there'll be maybe even fewer clams available that clammers can take in and make a living on, and that people will have to eat in the summertime.
Whitlow says some towns along the East Coast are trying to rebuild local populations of softshell clams. They're trying to raise them in hatcheries and protect them in the wild with nets. But Whitlow says European green crabs are just one problem for the native clams. He says their survival also depends on the overall health of the coastal marine ecosystem. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Here's a lovely song about my favorite food. Lima, lento, soy, and pinto, navy, northern, and garbanzo, kidneys, and frijoles, negros. I love beans. I love beans. Woo, woo, woo. I love beans. How about you? High in fiber, low in fat. Hey, I bet you didn't know that. When I eat beans, I say it in my own little cloud. Nobody comes to visit me in my little cloud. I don't know why. Maybe because I'm cutting muffins. Because I love beans. Hey, hey, hey. I love beans every day. Beans are an excellent source of protein. I love beans. Diggy-doo.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Look to the stars in search of the answers. Look for God and life on distant planets. Have your faith in the ever after. While each of us holds inside the map to the labyrinth. The heavens here on earth.
Exposing the con and conservative. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Our chat room, one of our members says, is better than going to school. The question was my use of the word epiphanous a real word? According to Oxford, epiphany is only a noun. Are we allowed to make it into an adjective? And it looks like somebody thinks it is. Auf Deutsch, it's an adjective. Anyway, interesting conversation in our chat room. You can find it at www.tomhartman.com. And do nice guys win? Oh, just to wrap up that story, the flip side of the mentality that the Dalai Lama presented, which was everybody is redeemable. Everybody, all humans are essentially, the human nature is essentially good. I mean, these are the core precepts of Buddhism also. And I would say of Christianity as well. And Judaism and Islam and, you know, right on down the board, I would say. These are the core and Hinduism, the core precepts in their pure forms of all of the major religions of the world, that human beings are essentially good. That people can become twisted or damaged or harmed, but eventually we can bring them back. That nobody can be not saved, as it were, salvaged, let's say. And that if somebody is just, like, too far out, then, you know, what they used to do is banish them, and there would be communities of refuge where banished people could go, which would make an interesting novel. What would life be like in a community of refuge, in a place where banished people go, people who you know, couldn't fit in? But in any case, the idea that the Dalai Lama had was that even the Chinese, who had murdered a million of his compatriots, including his family, members of his family, even the Chinese could be brought back. They could be recovered. They could be saved. They could be salvaged. The flip side of that is this kind of thinking represented by George
Bennett. Either with us or against us. You're either evil or you're good.
Yeah, and that's, you know, just kind of boiling it down. Sure enough. Senator Clinton and Reid, Senators Clinton and Reid, to visit troops abroad. Now, this was the story that I was going to get into next. Oh, by the way, before I go any further, late breaking news here from the IE America Radio Network.
We interrupt your regularly scheduled programming to bring you breaking news from IE America Radio Network studios in Detroit, Michigan. Here's just in time.
Schwarzenegger impeached shortly after inauguration. Fails routine drug test and workplace sensitivity training. In a hastily convened state Senate session, only a couple hours after his inauguration as California governor, Arnold Schwarzenegger was impeached today for failing a battery of routine drug tests as well as the newly instituted workplace sensitivity training.
Normally, we're looking for narcotics like heroin and cocaine,
State Attorney Felton Firth explained.
You can imagine our surprise when the test results came back with over 15 performance-enhancing drugs, including clomiphene, cyclophil, and antibiotic designer steroids.
First wife, Maria Shriver, immediately rushed to her husband's defense, however, explaining that she regularly adds performance enhancement drugs to her home cooking and that Arnold's not to blame.
You see, it's not unusual for me to use masking agents such as hydroxyethylene starch in my award-winning lasagna,
Shriver explained.
It keeps Arnie strong. The downside is that the chemicals make me look like Skeletor.
Clearly unprepared for his first day of work, Schwarzenegger also faltered on basic workplace sensitivity questions, asked whether it's okay to require an assistant to pick up his dry cleaning, fetch lunch, and provide a late afternoon massage. Schwarzenegger replied, "Of course not. That's what my wife is for. My assistants are for other things, like sex." Meanwhile, a recent poll revealed that 92% of Californians would support pop star Jessica Simpson if she ran for the now available governor's seat. This has been a special news report from IE America Radio Network News. I'm just in time.
This has been a breaking news segment from the IE America Radio Network studios. We now return to your regularly scheduled programming.
Thank you, guys. Yeah. I think John Lucas is primarily responsible for that one, and he did a great job. Jay, did you participate in the creation of that thing? Oh, nope. Okay. Yeah, well done. The original script was written by the Rash Report. Rashreport.com, I believe, is their website. And great source of comedy and very creative and funny people. So our little spoof story for the day. But the real story, the real news, and this is, you know, I'm curious what your take is on this, particularly because you can see it on TV right now, and I can't. I was able to get the BBC clip here off the Internet. And but, you know, Democratic Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton and Jack Reed, senators, say they will spend Thanksgiving in Afghanistan to meet with soldiers. Now, this was released a couple of days ago. Clinton, a Democrat from New York, and Reed, Democrat from Rhode Island, said Tuesday they were concerned about current efforts to win the hearts and minds of Iraqis. His administration is run by people who have been obsessed with Saddam Hussein for more than a decade, Clinton said. And the fact that they could have been so poorly informed and prepared raises a lot of serious questions about the decisions they are making now. End quote. Reed said he was worried, quote, the administration seems to be rushing toward an exit strategy, end quote. While in Afghanistan, Clinton plans to spend time with members of the 10th Mountain Division, which is based at Fort Drum, New York. I'm still very worried about Afghanistan, Clinton said. The Taliban and Al-Qaeda are clearly making a comeback. Reed has visited Afghanistan and Iraq within the past year and said the United States is at a very critical moment in its international military efforts. This is a story from the Associated Press by Devlin Barrett, Senators Clinton and Reed to visit troops abroad. And so here's Hillary Clinton preparing to steal the thunder. Preparing to say not just preparing, she was doing it. Going out there and saying, hey, George Bush is not the only warrior in the crowd. If you heard her speech today that she gave earlier today, they're probably 9 or 10 hours ahead of us. And so, or between 8 and 10 hours ahead of us. So whatever you see in the news happened some time ago. But the speech that she gave this morning was a real warrior speech. It was we are going to get these guys and we're not going to give up. And it was the kind of, it was a president of the United States. It was commander in chief kind of speech. And, of course, this had been announced, weeks in advance, and everybody knew it was going to happen in Washington, D.C. And so the White House, in my opinion, looked at this and said, we cannot allow a Clinton to steal George W.'s thunder. How can we top this stunt? She's in Afghanistan. If we show up in Afghanistan, it'll just look like we're Me Too-ing her. So let's go to Iraq. And George W. is just enough of an adrenaline junkie to probably think the idea was great. And I have some empathy for that, although it's difficult to go there. But time will tell if it was a good thing. It's interesting, though, that the American press, I guarantee you, is going to be portraying him now as George Bush warrior leader, whereas the BBC now is saying, well, isn't this interesting? The situation in Iraq is so dangerous that they had to fly him in under cover of darkness with such tight security that if the word leaked out, even while he was in the air, he would turn back and no one would ever know. And he only spent 2 hours on the ground, just long enough to say hi to a few hundred troops and take a lot of pictures and then leave. And so, anyway, I wonder. 4 Colorado children die from the flu. This is, talk about putting things in context. They're saying now that somewhere between 30 and 70,000 Americans will die in the next 6 months from the flu. How many did we lose in Iraq? Certainly not that many. 4 youngsters have died of the flu in Colorado since last week. In 9/11. 4 youngsters have died of the flu in Colorado since last week in what U.S. health officials say could foretell a severe flu season for the country. This could be an especially bad flu season. They're talking about Colorado, Texas, Nevada have been unusually hard hit. It is the H3N2 Fujian a part of a class of flu viruses that caused severe outbreaks in the United States in the 1990s. And Dr. Ned Colanage, the chief medical officer of the Colorado Department of Public Health in Denver, said doctors across the city are saying they've never seen a flu season like this. Four young people died yesterday, 21 months old, 2, 8, and 15. So, you know, what do you do? Well, of course, the medical industry is recommending flu shots, particularly for people age 50 and older. Although one of the problems is that the flu shots that they're passing out right now, because they have to come up with, you know, they have to make these things half a year in advance, don't have this H3N2 Fujian strain in them. But they do have ones that are similar enough that they think that the flu shot will still offer some protection to people. And it will prevent them from getting the less severe flu which they were expecting. And they also say anybody who's on long-term aspirin therapy should get the flu shot, residents of nursing homes, and so on and so forth. The aspirin therapy presumably is something that suppresses the immune function. I got to tell you, back in the early 70s, Louise and I knew this guy, Kurt Stanley, in Detroit, who had this formula that he told us about. Two flu remedies I want to share with you. Just quickly. And I actually mentioned this to somebody in our chat room last week who had a cold or the flu, and they came back the next day and said, hey, it knocked it out in a few hours. And that's been my experience with us and with our kids, having raised three children. This has been what we use. And I'm not offering medical advice here, just telling you the story. If you take the juice of a fresh lemon or two and squeeze it directly into a glass and then add an equal amount of honey, 50-50, fresh lemon juice and honey, and stir them together, you get this kind of thick syrup. It's about the thickness, it's about the texture of maple syrup. And then taking an entire bulb of garlic, peel the cloves and run them through a garlic press one by one directly into that liquid and stir it up. So now you've got this, makes about a half a cup of stuff that is garlic, lemon, and honey. And it sounds awful. And it actually tastes good if you like garlic. And you take a tablespoon of this stuff, or we take a tablespoon of this stuff, every 2 or 3 hours. And it knocks out anything. It's incredible. It turns out, I mean, this was back in 1972 that he told us about this, and we had a whole community of folks, you know, a whole bunch of people that knew each other who were regularly using this garlic honey lemon mixture, Kurt Stanley's famous mixture. And then over the years, what we discovered, I think it was in the 80s, in the late 80s, it came out that there was this compound in garlic called allicin that is actually antiviral and antibacterial. But antiviral agents are really hard to find. The other one that people can get in the health food store, of course, vitamin C is well known. And then for people who are really sick, there's lactoferrin. Lactoferrin is a cytokine that is contained in colostrum. And so it's pretty expensive. I mean, it'll cost like $60 for a bottle of this stuff because they've got to take colostrum, which is the first milk that comes from cows, and then they have to extract from the colostrum the lactoferrin. In fact, some folks with AIDS and things take lactoferrin, Hep C, other viral conditions. But it's a powerful antiviral agent. We keep a bottle of it here for, you know, if flu happens. But I've only known about that for the last year or so. I thought, well, that sounds cool. But frankly, I still think the lemon, honey, garlic is the best stuff. So your Dr. Dean message for the day, with respect. U.S. signals rethink on bases overseas. The Bush administration has signaled the most sweeping shift in the U.S. military presence abroad since World War II, telling allies around the globe that it will immediately seek to redeploy troops, ships, and aircraft. We're letting Germany, Japan, and South Korea know, who have hosted hundreds of thousands of our troops over the years, that we're going to decrease our military presence there to focus on the, quote, war on terror, end quote. This is an article in the smh.com.au, the Australian newspaper. And beginning today, the United States will intensify our consultations with Congress and our friends, allies, and partners overseas in our ongoing review of our overseas force posture, President George Bush said in a statement from Crawford, Texas. This yesterday's news, November 27. Today is the 27th. This is in today's news. The military's new emphasis is likely to be on areas where U.S. forces have increasingly found themselves fighting terrorism, particularly in the Middle East and Central Asia. And I can tell you these countries are going to be very upset about this because having our troops there is they're good consumers. So there's going to be an economic consequence. But it's probably good policy. It's probably good foreign policy. Time will tell. 1-800-TALK, yes, our number. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Talk radio for the rest of us. Stay tuned. We'll be back in just a few moments.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This season, don't just give a gift, give the good life at the Thanksgiving weekend sale at Sears. All weekend, save big throughout the store. Plus, this Friday, come into Sears from 6 to 11 a.m. and save 50% off hundreds of items, from electronics to fine jewelry, including our lowest price ever on a Sylvania combination TV-DVD player, just $129.99. Can't wait for the holidays? Then hurry into Sears and save big. Find us online at Sears.com or at America Online, keyword Sears. This holiday, give the good life. Sears, good life, great price. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Sale ends 11/28/03.
The Radio Shack Glossary of Electronics. Today's term, the Odyssey.
It's that epic journey people take, searching for electronic accessories. You drive to this store and that, but no luck. And by the end of the day, your behind is imprinted on your car seat.
At Radio Shack, we've got over 7,200 stores, so you're probably within 5 minutes of one right now. And our experts are there to give you easy answers to all your electronic accessory needs.
This is Bernie Mac, and just reading the Odyssey in school was enough for me.
Radio Shack. You've got questions, we've got answers.
Get the good stuff.
Right now would be a good time to come into Napa Auto Parts, because you can get a limited edition Napa number 15 race car hauler toy truck for just $29.99. It has an opening rear trailer door and separate buttons for engine sound, lights, and horn. This is the good stuff. And each race hauler comes with a Michael Waltrip 2003 Daytona 500 champion poster packed inside. So if you really want to impress the racing fans in your life, come to Napa.
Get the good stuff.
Napa. Get the good stuff.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
Talk, not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune into Animal Talk this Sunday.
Yeah!
Animal celebrity boxing.
We're gonna kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Boy, come on!
Show.
Adam, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. What's up?
I just find it that you guys are really cynical to believe that Cheney or Bush or any of these guys would risk troop lives to make money. You must think that these guys are really evil people.
If you go back to 1998 and read the Project for a New American Century, what they were saying basically, if we're going to continue to consume 25% of the planet's oil, then our security is at risk if we can't secure our oil supplies. So we have to secure the oil supplies by seizing control of the Middle East.
Is this what you say they said, or is this what they had stated in a policy and in a
this
in
is
a
what they
contract?
Said.
Why is this on CNN every night?
It was on CNN a year ago. It was on CNN in 1998. They wrote a letter to Bill Clinton demanding that he attack Iraq, and that letter has been a public document ever since. And it was signed by all of these guys who are now in the administration.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
The world of turkey is not always nice. It gets served on the table with taters of price. They call it Thanksgiving, but what about me? Well, stop here, thanks, there's not a turkey. They say that we're stupid, the worst of the birds. But come in a time, you know who gets served. Yes, we drown when we look up in rain. And we'll all die from fright at the sound of the train.
And welcome back. It's Talk Radio for the rest of us. The Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. Belgium, the Prime Minister of Belgium, Guy Verhofstadt, said on Tuesday that the United States is starting to behave a little weird. Verhofstadt wrote in a column in Germany's Handelsblatt Business Daily that the U.S. saw the euro, the currency of the EU, the European Union, saw the euro as a competitor to the dollar. And European Union moves for more defense cooperation as a threat to U.S. global dominance. He said the EU, taking in 10 new members next year, wanted a bigger voice on the world stage and to be treated as an equal partner, not a competitor by the U.S. And I quote, "This distrust is a break with U.S. policy in the first four decades of European integration. Up until the start of the 1990s, the United States encouraged Europe to integrate. Washington was and he goes on to say the U.S. has repeatedly attacked plans announced in April by France, Germany, Belgium, and Luxembourg, all fierce critics of the U.S.-led invasion of Iraq, to set up an EU military planning headquarters independent of NATO. And Guy Verhofstadt, the Prime Minister of Belgium, says this distrust is unfounded. For us, European defense is no strategic step against the United States or NATO. He adds that Washington had for 20 years demanded that Europe did more for its own security. He says that this opens the way to a new transatlantic relationship, equal partners who defend the same values. But now suddenly the policies and positions of the United States government are changing because Europe hasn't been playing lapdog with regard to Iraq, and now all of a sudden the EU is a threat. The Prime Minister of Belgium, rather concerned, speaking out. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, telling the truth that multinational corporations don't want you to know.
Been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Another
audio clip from the production meeting.
Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
Drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
If we don't care, and it shows.
On the IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. Several thousand additional Marines will go to Iraq next year, the Pentagon said Wednesday, in an update that indicated the total U.S. force won't be reduced as much as planned. The Pentagon had announced on November 6th most of the details of its rotation plan, which called for relying more heavily on the National Guard and Reserve while reducing the total number of American troops to about 105,000 by the time the rotation was completed in May. Although no numbers were provided by the Pentagon, it appears the total number by May will be closer to 110,000, counting the additional Marines. For reasons not explained in the announcement Wednesday, the Pentagon said it had decided to send an additional 3 battalions of Marines. Those would be beyond the 20,000 who were designated on November 6th. Democratic presidential contender Howard Dean joined family members Wednesday for the emotional return of the remains of 3 Americans and an Australian missing since the Vietnam War. Dean believes one of the Americans was his brother. Remains tentatively identified as those of Charles M. Dean and his friend, Australian Neil Sharman, civilians traveling in Southeast Asia when they were killed in 1974, were discovered this month buried in a rice field in central Laos. The other 2 sets of remains are believed to be airmen unearthed in separate sites in northeastern Laos. Smooth sailing is expected for the giant balloons in the 77th annual Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade in New York City today. Winds are expected to reach no higher than 10 miles per hour, eliminating any fears that the bevy of cartoon characters would have to be grounded. Led by Jake the helium-stuffed turkey, who last appeared in 1959, the giant balloons are expected to float with ease in the parade. The National Weather Service has forecast winds of 5 to 10 miles per hour during the duration of the parade, with mostly cloudy skies. Several thousand watched in chilly temperatures last night as the big balloons were filled with helium near Central Park. More IE America Network news after this.
I'm Don Henley. 2003 marks the centennial anniversary of the National Wildlife Refuge System. Today, more than 530 refuges conserve some 90 million acres throughout the country. With a refuge in each and every state, and many within short drives of major cities, it's easy to see what the National Wildlife Refuge System is all about. Help us celebrate this truly outstanding legacy. Visit your local refuge.
New York's annual Thanksgiving parade is famous for its giant balloon caricatures, but Mrs. Claus in drag may be drawing the second looks this year. Harvey Fierstein, Broadway's most famous drag queen, will dress as Mrs. Claus while riding downtown on a float in Macy's famous parade. Fierstein, star of the Broadway musical hit Hairspray and openly gay, says his appearance as Santa's wife isn't a political statement. He's doing it strictly for the fun of it. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
John Madden here to tell you about the Big Ace Hardware one-day sale happening this Friday, November 28th. Get great stuff to decorate your home, like a big 6-foot light and spiral tree for only $9.99, or pre-lit deer silhouettes for your lawn for just $12.99 each. This is one sale you don't want to miss, so drop by your neighborhood Ace this Friday. Doors open at 7 a.m., so make plans to shop early. Ace, the helpful place. Quantities may be limited and are available at participating Ace stores. Rebates void in Connecticut.
On this Thanksgiving Day, one thing that I'm thankful for is to be a progressive in America, even in this age of bourgeois. What makes me thankful is the great rebellious spirit and progressive ideals that I find among the great majority of our people, a spirit and progressivism that can't be drained from us even by the collective efforts of Bush Co., the corporate kleptocrats, and the wobblycrats in Washington. Luckily, I get to travel a lot, speaking and working with folks all across America. So I don't have to take my impression of people's beliefs and attitudes from the establishment press, pundits, pollsters, and politicos. And I can tell you that contrary to the contrived conventional wisdom of these establishment elites, Americans are not a bunch of meek, trust authority, just-go-shopping corporate conservatives clutching duct tape and religiously watching Fox television to learn what it is we're supposed to think and do. Rather, we're the same bunch of restless and raucous rebels, anti-establishment mutts and mavericks who've always been drawn to this big brawling and sprawling country, and who have steadily extended our egalitarian ideals over the decades. Everywhere I go, I find that ordinary grassroots Americans are lighting little prairie fires of rebellion against the economic and political exclusion being practiced by the power elites. You hear little about it from the media barons, but more than 112 cities have already passed living wage initiatives. Students on more than 50 campuses have outlawed sweatshop goods from Nike and others. Nearly 200 towns have defeated Walmart and other big box bullies from bulldozing into their communities. More than 200 cities, towns, and counties have passed formal actions against the liberty-busting USA Patriot Act and, well, the list goes on of modern-day rebels fighting and winning to take our democracy back. This is Jim Hightower saying, thanks to all of you on this Thanksgiving Day for your great rebellious spirit.
Xie xie is thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really, Nancy? Mm-hmm.
Ban ji la is like cool.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Ban ji la.
You know everything.
Xie xie.
I should have watched MSNBC yesterday.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need's a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, this is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. To talk with Tom Hartman, call 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom.
And welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network discussing solutions and not false promises. Did you see the Rash Report today, the world's most contagious newsletter? RashReport.com. Here's the news story for the day. This is the real story. Bush refuses to pardon terrorist Turkey. Rumsfeld, he had it coming. President Bush flouted 200 years of American tradition on Tuesday when he refused to pardon a Virginia turkey at a Thanksgiving ceremony on the White House lawn. Instead, Secretary of the Interior Gail Norton fired two shots from a .30-06 rifle into the turkey's gizzards, killing it instantly in a cloud of feathers. This turkey had known ties to Al-Qaeda, said the president. This is what we call Texas justice. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld confirmed that before being raised in a Virginia hen house, the turkey had been fed in Yemen and northern Pakistan, where it had been exposed to fundamentalist anti-American teachings. The execution was widely criticized in Europe and the United Nations as yet another example of American extremism. British Foreign Minister Jack Straw said, I could see killing a grouse or even a fox, but a turkey? Rumsfeld retorted, it takes one to know one. The turkey's remains will be flown to Iraq, where they will be distributed among the residents of Tikrit as an example of what happens to those who oppose American authority. As a goodwill gesture, however, New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg is also sending a bag of rye bread and Russian dressing. You know, for those post-Thanksgiving sandwiches everybody loves, Bloomberg said. Meanwhile, in preparation for the annual Thanksgiving Day parade, hundreds of New Yorkers spent the night filling this year's bloated Rosie O'Donnell float with hot air. And so the news on the day. 1-800-TALK, yes, our number, 1-800-825-5937. It's Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving to you. I hope you're having a marvelous day. We have so much to be thankful for in this nation. And Preston in Denver's on the line with a question. Hey, Preston, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Hi, Tom. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Thank you.
And everybody at IE America and its listeners as well. Your terrorist turkey story made me think of that film Chicken Run. Did you ever see that? You might want to check it out because it's a very creative claymation film, and it's very much a parable about social movements as well. The story is that these chickens are in this kind of like a prison camp where if they don't produce enough eggs, they get turned into pot pies. So they start to organize to get out of this.
It's like there was another movie of like that recently in the last couple of years, two or three years ago. Anyway, yes. But that's not what you called about, Preston, was it?
No. Actually, you had mentioned the lectures that you give regarding ADHD.
Right.
And a couple of things. I was wondering if you're lecturing at all on your more recent work on the Constitution and the rise of corporate power. And are there any tapes of lectures on either of those subjects available?
Yeah, there is. Yes, I am. And, in fact, 2 weeks ago, I spoke in San Francisco at the annual meeting of the Physicians for National Health, National Health Program, PNHP.org, annual meeting. This is the big doctors group across the country that's working for single-payer health care system.
Great.
And a couple of weeks before that, I was speaking someplace else. I don't remember. I remember getting on and off airplanes. But anyhow, it's all on my website. If you go to tomhartman.com and click on my schedule button, you can get that. As to copies of speeches that I've given, we have an audio clip, a one-hour audio clip of the keynote address that I gave to the to one of the big national ADD organizations. ADD.org is their website, and it's the National Adults with ADD or whatever it's called.
Okay.
It's you'll find that on if you go to tomhartman.com and click on the articles about ADHD page. There's a little microphone logo. You can click it and you can listen to it in real audio. It's an hour of speech. As far as the It's ADDA is the name of the organization.
Okay.
Adult Attention Deficit Disorder Association. And as far as any lectures on corporate personhood, on the topic of my last book, well, actually the book before the last, but the most recent book is on ADHD, but the book before that was called Unequal Protection, The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. I have been doing a lot of those around the country, and we have videotapes and audio tapes of a bunch of them. We haven't put any of them on the web.
Okay.
And probably should. And so thanks for the stimulating me. I'll do that.
Okay. And also another reason why I ask is that there's a kind of large informal network of people who record these sorts of talks and distribute them around the country. Actually, the Denver Public Library carries a lot of that kind of thing. And I'm involved with a network that is getting this stuff to libraries around the country. And I certainly don't want to cut into your business, and you should be paid for your efforts and all of that.
Oh, we don't. The stuff on the web is free, and we were selling for a while audio and videotapes of my talks. But in fact, I've got to figure out a way to take that thing down from the internet because it's more trouble than it's worth.
Okay. Well, I might pass along an email to you and try to retrieve one of those recordings. I think it could do it a lot of good. And, I think it's so much more effective, too, than violence. You're asking about the effectiveness of violence. And like the Buddhists say, I think, mind is the forerunner of all things. And if we can just make more efforts to share different sorts of informations, different visions of what kind of country this can be, we'll go a long way to countering so much of what we don't like seeing in the world developing. in South Africa, I know some of the armed resistance movements, you know, it kind of maybe boosted their morale at times, but they noticed that their soldiers, oftentimes the violence went into their homes after the fighting was done. And you see that.
I've seen that here, too.
That's right. Soldiers killing each other and killing, the domestic abuse is really a crime, a real shame.
Yeah, and I've known very few people who were in combat who were not wounded by it emotionally, psychologically. In fact, I can't think of anybody that I know who's been in combat who isn't still carrying scars from it.
And I think we've lost one of the tools for healing ourselves psychologically. I noticed you blurbed on the back of a book called Breaking Open the Head by Daniel Pinchbeck. And you spoke to the role of entheogens throughout societies for millennia and the work of shamans in healing their communities. And I think
entheogens is a fancy word for plants that alter consciousness. The ones that we use most commonly in our culture are coffee and tea and the things that we make into alcohol, but there's a whole large spectrum of them.
That's right.
Pardon my interrupting you.
That's okay.
Just for our listeners.
And I very much see kind of a market war taking place, you know, with Novartis and Eli Lilly trying to substitute, you know, they're kind of like corporate shamans. And they want to be able to patent the stuff. And
yeah, they want you taking Prozac instead of St. John's wort. You know,
that's exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And all of these children that are being put on Ritalin. And this is an issue that the left and the right divisions are really transcended by, because I've heard a lot of conservative people express great concern about this mass drugging of our children that's going on, and are looking for different approaches to the mental dis-ease that so many of us feel. And I think we're, you know, not getting to the root causes of it, which I think you know, are varied, you know, related to financial insecurities, to concerns about the environment, and things like that that we can address, even sometimes through consumption. I'm glad that Adbusters is having a Buy Nothing Day to counter all the propaganda, but I must admit, tomorrow I was kind of planning on shopping at that organic wine store that you mentioned. I think they're doing great work. And you know, a lot of good business endeavors are making consumption something that's not necessarily bad for the earth at all. And,
it's all a matter of what's appropriate and what's in balance and what isn't.
Yeah.
And Preston, you know, thank you for making the points that you did. I appreciate your call and happy Thanksgiving to you. It's important stuff. It's 1-800-TALK. Yes, our number 1-800-825-5930. Oh, and by the way, one of the folks in our chat room just popped up a window on my computer and said, "Is there an herbal alternative to Ritalin or to Concerta?" And the ones that I know of are, the best one that I know of is yerba mate, which is a stimulant herb that contains the drug matane, which is a relative of caffeine. And a lot of people use that. 1-800-TALK, yes, or number 1-800-825, but that's not medical advice. That's just letting you know. 1-800-825-8, 1-800-TALK, yes, our telephone number. Danny in Santa Fe is on the line. Hey, Danny, what's up with you today?
Good morning, Tom.
Good morning.
Great to be on your show. I love your show.
Thank you.
We just heard on the TV that George Bush made a clandestine trip to Baghdad for Thanksgiving dinner with...
he was not going to let Hillary upstage him.
Exactly.
I mean, all it takes is for a Clinton to go to Afghanistan to light a fire under George Bush's butt. He was on that airplane. Boom.
That's exactly what my wife concluded.
Yeah.
How much did you pay for this?
Yeah, exactly. And it was interesting. Maybe you didn't catch it in the last hour, I think it was, or maybe in the first hour of the program. I played a clip from the BBC where the two of the BBC commentators were discussing this. This is on their home webpage right now.
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah, it was a little video clip. And you got these two guys. The one's in Iraq, right? And he was there when Bush showed up. And the other one's back in London. And the guy back in London says, "Well, you know, after that DHL plane was hit by a missile last week, there had to be a lot of concern about security. And, you know, what do you think are the implications? What's the meaning, essentially?" These are not his words, my paraphrasing my memory of what he said. But basically, you know, what's the big picture here? What's the meaning of Bush's visit to Iraq? And the guy on the ground in Iraq from the BBC says, well, basically the The story is that although this administration is trying to portray the situation as everything's under control, guys, don't worry, the reality of the situation is that he's got to sneak in under the dark of night and only stay 2 hours and then run back out again because this country right. that they're occupying is not safe.
And never leave the airport.
Yeah, yeah. And so it's interesting. The BBC's take, I'm sure, is quite different from American News's take.
Yes. Yeah, we don't get much of that angle on TV.
No, we're not. We're not going to. And part of it is because it's redundant. I mean, you know, we know that there's a security problem. We see, well, we don't see the bodies coming home. We hear remotely about it. We don't hear about the wounded, except by accident. But we're hearing about the deaths there.
Yeah.
And, you know, so we know. But still, I think it's interesting that that's the way the BBC is looking at it. I think the anti-American sentiment is just, it's spooky how it's spreading across the world. Danny, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, our number 1-800-TALK. Yes, if you want to call in, be on the program today. And we're going to move along through the news here right after this break. Stay tuned.
This is Eric Muller reporting from Chopper 5.
Cut!
News happens fast. Can I afford to let a cold slow me down? Not up here. When I'm achy, with a stuffy nose and a sore throat, I take Advil Cold and Sinus. It's got the power of Advil to handle tough pain, plus a hard-working decongestant. That's why they call it Advil Cold and Sinus.
Quick, over to the highway!
I call it fast relief for a reporter on the fly.
For tough colds, advance to Advil Cold and Sinus. Use as directed.
This Friday from 7 a.m. to noon only, it's the Early Bird Sale at Radio Shack. Shop early and save big with incredible deals for only $5. Save over 60% on a Barbie alarm clock, only $5. Save over 60% on a smart, sharp touchscreen organizer, again, just $5. And don't forget, our colorful M&M Groovy radios are half price for, you guessed it, $5. This Friday from 7 a.m. till noon only during the Early Bird Sale at Radio Shack.
All store hours may vary.
Shop the Shack, save big.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Doug, listening to you sing Back in the Saddle Again just goes to show what happens when Nancy isn't around to rein you in. God help us and anyone else listening in at that time.
I think that was very nice.
I'm back in the saddle again.
There's a certain pumpkin patch charm to you when you do this.
Really?
Well, doggy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Bosses of the world unite, let us save the day. Malcontents without 5 cents want us to cut our pay. We only make 500 times as much as our average worker drones. We work just as hard and we too sometimes need to paint our homes. The pressures are incredible and no one seems to care. We moved our plants to Haiti and now we have to move from there.
Oh, it's
They're
tough.
Clamoring for more than a dollar.
It's tough for the poor CEOs. Welcome back. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Uncommon sense from the radical middle. Howard Dean for president. This is the op-ed by Ted Rall today, UPI. You know, Ted Rall, the cartoonist. It's interesting. Let me just a couple of fast things. Number one, Google today. Google homepage. This one of the folks in the chat room told me about this. Maybe it's been up there for a long time. Probably has. But I just learned about it. Type weapons of mass destruction and click the I'm feeling lucky button, and you will get a hilarious page. That wanted to share with you. Bush's secret visit to Iraq. Okay, we've done that. We got a couple of. Things to be thankful for. This is this news release from late yesterday afternoon. So it's not going to make the news. And of course, Bush doing his stunt in Iraq will blow everything out. But a court throws out industry's challenge to Clean Water Act permits. Attempts to further weaken protections for streams and wetlands fail. A federal court has rejected industry attempts to weaken nationwide dredge and fill permits for development projects, mining, and other environmentally damaging activities. In other words, basically the bottom line here is the National Resources Defense Council has won a victory. And the federal judge has ruled on their behalf and said, no, corporations can't mess with the environment in extreme and extraordinary ways without the consent of the EPA and the people involved. You've got to follow the provisions of the Clean Water Act. Sorry, that's it. So that's a good one. Taiwan is doing some serious saber rattling. Taiwan MPs defy China. They just 108-82 vote today. Dubbed a defensive referendum. Has passed a clause in its controversial referendum bill which allows plebiscites to be held on the island's sovereignty in the event of an attack by China. I mean, they're already sort of claiming sovereignty, but it's a delicate dance that the Chinese and the Taiwanese have been doing for some time now. And that's very interesting to see what's happening with that. But then Uncommon Dreams, also, we had yesterday the lead story. And ready to go. Here we are. William Grider. William Grider's a really hard guy. I mean, tough. He's smart. He understands the issues. He's been out there on the cutting edge of what you might call liberal policy for a long, long time. And he writes this article in The Nation. Why I'm for Dean. William Grider, he says, first, the rival Simon McGovernite lefty from the 60s. When that didn't take, they decided to depict him as a right-wing clone of Newt Gingrich who wants to dismantle Medicare and Social Security. Finally, opponents sold political reporters in the story that Mr. Malaprop, an oddball from tiny liberal Vermont, so insensitive to the nuances of American politics, his mouth will destroy him. Howard Dean surged ahead through all of this. The other candidates and witting collaborators in the press got him wrong every time. Howard Dean is an odd duck, certainly, in the milieu of the contemporary Democratic Party. He is, I surmise, a tough and savvy politician of the old school, a shrewd, intuitive poll, who develops his own sense of where the people are and where events are likely to take public opinion, then has the guts to act on his perceptions. The approach, leading, it's called, seems dangerously unscientific. Great article. And we'll get to Ted Rawl. And, you know, should Greens unite behind a Democrat this time around? Your thoughts on that. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Some clams dig deep to survive an invasion of foreign crabs. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. The European green crab first came to North America in the 1800s in the ballast of sailing ships. Today, the crab is a major problem along the northeastern coast of the United States. It eats just about anything it can get its claws on. That includes a valuable shellfish called the softshell clam. It appears that some of the native clams get away from the foreign crab by digging deep into the mudflats where they live. Lindsay Whitlow is an ecologist at Bowdoin College in Brunswick, Maine. He compared the shells of clams that were collected recently with shells that were stored in museums. The museum specimens were collected before the green crab became a problem. Whitlow says the clams have physically changed to be able to burrow more deeply into the mud. The changes protect them from green crabs, but they also make it harder for the clams to reach the microscopic plants they eat themselves. Whitlow says they now grow more slowly, and that has implications for people who harvest the clams and sell them.
In order to maintain a population of clams, most states regulate what size you can harvest them at. So they have to reach 2 inches before it's legal to pull them out of the mud. And so you can imagine that if they're a bunch of green crabs, not only are there going to be fewer clams, but it's going to take these clams longer to reach that harvestable size, so there'll be maybe even fewer clams available that clammers can take in and make a living on, and that people will have to eat in the summertime.
Whitlow says some towns along the East Coast are trying to rebuild local populations of softshell clams. They're trying to raise them in hatcheries and protect them in the wild with nets. But Whitlow says European green crabs are just one problem for the native clams. He says their survival also depends on the overall health of the coastal marine ecosystem. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
the best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, Truth in Broadcasting. Our program today brought to you by Small Dog Electronics. If you own a Mac, if you have ever wanted, I owned Macintoshes for years, and they really are the very best computers. They absolutely, and you can do so, and so the world's most powerful computer now is one of the Macintoshes, and if you would like more information about Macintoshes, if you're interested in buying them, looking into them, getting one serviced, accessories for them, 1-800-511-MAX, M-A-C-S, 1-800-511-511-MAX is the phone number for Small Dog Electronics. Our program also brought to you by the Organic Wine Company, 1-888-ECO-WINE, their telephone number. And they're actually giving away free samples of their product right now. So anyhow, we had William Grider has come out and endorsed Howard Dean. And now Ted Rall is endorsing Howard Dean. You get the sense that, number one, some momentum is building here in the Democratic race. And number two, that some panic is developing in this poll-driven White House that has followed Lee Atwater's advice and been in perpetual campaign mode since the first day that George W. was appointed and then took the oath of office to the presidency of the United States. They have not stopped campaigning. I mean, everything has been scripted. Everything has been. And people say, oh, look, he designed that so that he can use that clip in his campaign in 2004. No, sorry. That is part of the campaign. Even though it was in 2001, 2002, 2003, it has been a continuous campaign. Lee Atwater, a political genius who on his deathbed recanted, apologized for the damage that he had done to American politics, to American democracy, really. And he, of course, being the spiritual godfather of Karl Rove and who has been running the show here for George W. So what is putting George W. on the run is the possibility of Howard Dean. I am convinced that what's going on right now is that we are seeing the McGovern Muskie thing played out. Those of you who are old enough to remember, those of you who aren't, I'll tell you the story very briefly. I believe it was the election of 72. Anyhow, Nixon was running for president, and the Democrats were, doing their primaries, and Ed Muskie had pulled out in front. And he was a strong candidate. He was the United States Senator from Maine, as I recall, and a very articulate man, very well-spoken, very thoughtful, knew the issues, absolutely bulletproof, great guy. And George McGovern was sort of taking the position in the race that arguably Dennis Kucinich is taking right now. He was the candidate who was speaking the uncomfortable truths, and it was bringing to him a loyal following, but a relatively small one. And McGovern was the one who it was just outspokenly opposed to the Vietnam War. And McGovern wanted to make other issues the centerpiece of his campaign, as I recall, domestic issues. So anyhow, the Nixon campaign, CREEP, the Committee to Re-Elect the President, this was, the Liddy and Magruder, the whole bunch of them. They looked at the situation and said, okay, Nixon knew that he could beat McGovern. But it was looking in their internal polling like he couldn't beat Ed Muskie. Ed Muskie would take him apart. So they sent somebody off to New Hampshire, and the story is it was Charles Colson, to sabotage Muskie. And they did a whole bunch of dirty tricks in New Hampshire to nail him. They stole some letterhead from his office, and then on it they typed a letter that was then leaked to the Manchester Union Leader, which was run by William Loeb, who is now deceased. His wife Naki now runs it, I believe. If she's still alive. It's been years since I lived in New Hampshire, and the Union Leader was this. It was the Fox News of newspapers. I mean, it was just the rabid right wing of foaming at the mouth publication, and they just played this thing hugely. That Ed Muskie had in this letter used the phrase Canuck or Canuck, C-A-N-U-C-K, to refer to Americans of French ancestry. And there's a lot of such persons in northern New Hampshire because it, you know, butts right up against the Canadian border. And so he was on the defensive there, and then the story is somebody put LSD in his coffee or something like it, and he got up on this flatbed truck and started just tripping. He started talking about his wife and sort of broke down and started crying, and he just went down in flames as a result of all these dirty tricks that the Nixon campaign played on him. And several of the Nixon people have now, you know, over the years, kind of come out and said, you know, it's true, or, you know, confirm various aspects of it. So I think the Bush campaign, I mean, you know, dirty tricks wouldn't surprise me. But they're you know, why engage in illegal dirty tricks when you've got a couple $100 million in the bank? So the Bush campaign is now running these ads in Iowa in order to try and, in my opinion, to try and bump off Howard Dean, because I think they've come to the conclusion that there's a good chance Howard Dean could beat George W. Bush, whereas Dick Gephardt can't. And John Kerry probably can't. I mean, if they can't beat Howard Dean, they're not going to beat George W. And so they're running these ads. So we're seeing this this groundswell here. I mean, this op-ed by Ted Rall. He says, "I don't regret voting for Ralph Nader in 2000. He says, "I figured George W. Bush was for a meaner, stupider version of his dad, another linguistically challenged, harmless centrist with little agenda aside from paying off his contributors with, say, a tax cut in the capital gains tax. Boy, was I wrong," says Ted Rall. And he talks about how in the past he has opposed strategic voting. When citizens vote for candidates because they seem likely to win, it creates a winner-takes-all aggregation of support. That subverts democracy's underlying assumption. People vote for the man or woman they most like to see win. But he says this year is different. And he goes through a list of the crimes of George W. Bush. He treasonously undermined the constitutional separations of power, savaged the right of the states to conduct elections, and brutalized faith in the principle that rich or poor, black or white, every vote counts. Only after 9/11, however, did Bush begin acting like a dictator, jailing innocent people solely because they were Muslim, authorizing the FBI and CIA to spy on political opponents, converting Guantanamo Bay into a concentration camp for 12-year-old prisoners seized in Afghanistan. Thanks to tax cuts diabolically devised to minimize the possibility of economic stimulus, a 10-year $4 trillion surplus has become a $6 trillion deficit. And now he has stuck us in a unilateral losing war in Iraq, a vicious quagmire that has given us neither preemption from WMDs nor cheap oil. Just $500 billion wasted dollars, along with 350 dead soldiers and more than 1,000 who will never walk again. Bush is nothing like his dad, except in his casual disregard for the problems of the unemployed. And then he goes on to say, under normal circumstances, third parties like the Greens and Libertarians deserve the support of like-minded voters. But the fact is, only the Democratic Party can defeat Bush next year. And Democratic contenders like Dennis Kucinich, Carol Moseley Braun, and Al Sharpton have brought common sense, progressive perspectives on the war in Iraq, and we should and that we should expect from government and what we should expect from government into the conversation. But they suffer from, respectively, lack of money and lack of melanin. They won't win the Democratic nomination. And he says he'll basically vote for anybody over Bush. But Dean's natural pugnacity could help Dems deal more aggressively than usual with the nasty attack ads they can expect in the campaign ahead. Frankly, the other Democratic contenders don't have what it takes to stand up to Karl Rove's brutal war machine. Maybe it's premature to endorse Governor Dean, Ted Rawls says, but right now, given the information we have available, he's the preferred candidate of us, anybody but Bushies. Fascinating to see the folks on the, you know, the clearly defined left, as it were. I would say, you know, those who are committed to the ideals of democracy in the United States coming out and, this is Diana, I think they're already starting. Matt Drudge wrote this otherwise unattributed piece yesterday that talked about how angry the military guys involved were about Dean's brother's body being given priority burial. Oh, jeez. This is one of the folks in our, Diana, in our chat room. Thank you, Diana. They are going to try and take Dean apart. It's going to, you think Michael Jackson's being smeared. You just wait. And I think the first line of attack is going to be what you're seeing right now, which is get Dean defeated in the primary, and then you don't have to worry about him. Let's see if we can get Dick Gephardt nominated. I think Dick Gephardt's a great guy. I think he would make a fabulous president. I'd vote for him in a heartbeat. I'd work for him hard. I think he's a good man. And I'm not sure he could beat Bush. I'm just saying that looking at the polls in New Hampshire and looking at the polling around the country. Of course, you have to understand, and I say it absolutely freely, my viewpoint is highly skewed by the fact that for the last 8 years, or 9 years, whatever it is, I'd have to add it up, I've lived here in the People's Republic of Vermont. And Howard Dean was my governor for all that time that I lived here, except for the last year when now we've got this bozo Republican, who didn't win a majority, by the way. See, that's what happened here in Vermont. The Progressive Party and the Democratic Party split about 55% of the vote. So we've got a Republican who had about 40-some-odd percent of the vote as our governor. Anyhow, we don't want to see that happen at the national level again. But, Ralph Nader's talking about running. I'm sure they're encouraging him. 1-800-TALK-YES, our number. Orrin Hatch says he's shocked at the hacking of the files of Senator Kennedy. Somebody on Orrin Hatch's staff hacked Ted Kennedy's computer. Now, I remember a few weeks ago, there was a story in the paper about some kid that had hacked somebody someplace, and the FBI busted and took his computer. Are they going to take Orrin Hatch's computer? Somehow, I suspect not. Yeah, I don't think so. Ain't going to happen. The Texas Attorney General has begun a crackdown on computer spam. Now, here's my proposal for this. And I really think this would actually work. If the United States Post Office was to set up an email server, and you have to have an account with them to use it, and whenever you send a message out, you are charged one penny. Or maybe even 5 cents. I mean, you know, let market forces figure out how much people are willing to pay versus how much will discourage spammers. Bulk mail right now costs around 12 to 16 cents, as I recall, 12 to 18 cents a piece to send out third-class bulk mail, depending whether you're nonprofit or for-profit. They might even want to do it in that price range. And then those of us who are interested in having spam-free email, We sign up with the post office and get an inbound account, which is free. But anytime we send an email out, we have to pay that 5 cents or 1 cent or 17 cents or whatever it is. And any email, and anybody tries to send an email to tom@postoffice.gov is going to get a message bounced back to them that says, sorry, if you want to send this message, you have to have an account with the post office, and you have to send the message in a way that's encoded so that the post office can know who you are so that we can ding your account. We can charge you. In other words, you're putting a stamp on the email, and you're paying the post office for the stamp. And that way, when the email shows up in my email box, I know somebody paid to send that thing to me. It's amazing to me the amount of mail I used to get as an author. I mean, I've got more than 500,000 books in print, right? And as an author, I would get, I don't know, 1 or 2 or 3 letters a week. It's not a huge quantity. But when email came along, whoa! I mean, it's literally 100 to 200 a day. And there's no way I can deal with it. It's just I'm buried. I got 1,700 messages in my inbox right now. It's probably 400 I haven't read yet. And because, it's so easy to just casually say, hey, great article, or I like that, or whatever, and then people expect a response. If somebody had to pay 15 cents, they'd think twice. I think that's great. And spammers, they want to sell a product? Great, let them pay to sell the product. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be back after this break.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation, but how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This season, don't just give a gift, give the good life at the Thanksgiving weekend sale at Sears. All weekend, save big throughout the store. Plus, this Friday, come into Sears from 6 to 11 a.m. and save 50% off hundreds of items, from electronics to fine jewelry, including our lowest price ever on a Sylvania Combination TV-DVD player, just $129.99. Can't wait for the holidays? Then hurry into Sears and save big. Find us online at Sears.com or at America Online, keyword Sears. This holiday, give the good life. Sears, good life, great price. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Sale ends 11/28/03.
Do you ever wake up with back or body pain?
Oh.
Ah. When you need relief, try Extra Strength Bare Back and Body. It soothes aching backs and sore muscles with the trusted strength of Bare Aspirin, working effectively at the site of pain. Plus, it contains a special pain relief enhancer. Nothing is proven to work better than Bare Back and Body. Not Advil, not Tylenol. Don't let back aches and body pain slow you down.
Ah.
Take Bare Back and Body and get moving again, pain-free. Use as directed.
I own a chain of spas. We offer mud baths, hydrotherapy, everything to de-stress our clients. So if we run into a cash flow problem, the last thing we want is to start stressing out ourselves.
Introducing the American Express Platinum Business Credit Card. It lets small business owners pay over time. There's no annual fee, plus you enjoy all the savings, services, and tools of OPEN, the Small Business Network. Apply now. Call 1-800-NOW-OPEN.
Paying over time? It's very calming.
Terms, conditions, and restrictions apply.
This is Eric Muller reporting from Chopper 5.
Cut!
News happens fast. Can I afford to let a cold slow me down? Not up here. When I'm achy, with a stuffy nose and a sore throat, I take Advil Cold and Sinus. It's got the power of Advil to handle tough pain, plus a hard-working decongestant. That's why they call it Advil Cold and Sinus.
Quick, over to the highway!
I call it fast relief for a reporter on the fly.
For tough colds, advance to Advil Cold and Sinus. Use as directed.
This Friday from 7 a.m. to noon only, it's the Early Bird Sale at Radio Shack. Shop early and save big with incredible deals, like a Cyber Home DVD player with progressive scan. Just $29.99 after a $10 Radio Shack mail-in rebate. That's right, a DVD player for under $30. At such a great price, it's a perfect addition to any home entertainment system. This Friday from 7 a.m. till noon only during the Early Bird Sale at Radio Shack.
All store hours may vary.
Shop the Shack. Save big.
Tom Hartman
Show.
An email here from Jamie. Jamie has a great idea. He was listening to the program and heard the Brett Bercy segment. Our friend down in South Carolina who was arrested outside a Bush campaign speech. Jamie says, I have an idea for getting close to Bush with protest signs. Make a sign that says, impeach Bush, or something of that nature, one word above the other. And then have a strip of paper that is the same color as the sign's background. On this strip of paper, you print something like re-elect. Lightly stick re-elect over impeach. Carry this sign to the Bush event, and after you are safely surrounded by pro-Bush hordes, remove the re-elect portion of the sign and hold it up.
We love Bush. We love Bush. We love Bush.
Impeach Bush.
Huh? You didn't know I'm going to say that, did you?
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Look, if you had the chance to date Anna Nicole Smith, would you?
I found her appealing a few years ago, but there were things about her that intrigued me. That's all. I mean, I don't always get intrigued
by them. I just can't believe you, of all people, would choose a date based simply on the physical.
Are you kidding? I hate to disappoint you.
You're a dirty dog.
On the IE America Radio Network.
This is Mike Malloy with the IE America Radio Network. Want to know more about our talk shows and personalities but don't know where to look? Do you want to find out what guests are scheduled or what topics we'll be discussing on our programs? Would you like to participate in live chat or vote in interactive polls? All this and more is available at the IE America Radio website. Bookmark it, stop surfing, and get active. Visit www.ieamericaradio.com today.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
The world of turkey is not always nice. You can serve down the table with tailors of price. We call it Thanksgiving, but what about me? What's down to your thanks, cause I'm a turkey.
Yes, the turkey song. Yes. Welcome back. It's Tom Hartman. Happy Thanksgiving. Hope you're having a wonderful day. Tomorrow we will have on Dennis Kucinich and Bernie Sanders in separate hours, Congressman Dennis Kucinich and Congressman Bernie Sanders. And our program today was produced here in Vermont by Louise Hartman and produced in Atlanta by Joe McPherson. And engineered in Detroit by Jay Balecki. Thank you, Jay, for sticking around with us for these 3 hours and giving up part of your Thanksgiving to make sure that this program got on the air. I do appreciate it. I want to remind you, tomorrow is Buy Nothing Day. Let's just hear this little clip here from adbusters.org. Oh, it helps if I turn on the switch, doesn't it? Hang on.
The average North American consumes 5 times more than a Mexican, 10 times more than a Chinese person, and 30 times more than a person from India. We are the most voracious consumers in the world, a world that could die because of the way we North Americans live. Give it a rest. November 28th is Buy Nothing Day.
That's tomorrow, Buy Nothing Day. Time, a great day to spend with your family, with your friends, hanging out, goofing off, reading a good book, listening to a good talk radio program. Buy Nothing Day tomorrow. Iraqi police shows strain with occupiers. This in today's newspaper, the Associated Press. Iraqi police say they are underpaid, poorly armed, and lack equipment to protect themselves from increasing attacks by insurgents. Frequently branded as collaborators with the U.S. occupation, many police resent the Americans, and some even express sympathy for the guerrillas. This is the problem of the failed Bush-Iraqi policy, is that by making it an American presence rather than an international presence, anybody who is in power in Iraq now, whether it's a police officer or a politician, is seen as a toady of the United States. And nationalism is a perfectly natural thing, and nationalism is happening. People are saying, hey, we want our country. And we really have to get the rest of the international community involved in this thing if we're going to pull this thing out of the fire. This is Tom Hartman. Thank you again for joining us today. Happy Thanksgiving. Have a wonderful day with friends and family. Tune in tomorrow, same time, same place. See you then.
From those ads, Tiananmen Square. It's coming from the field, but this ain't exactly real.